The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bowl.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spanktrovision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast. The best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys. Huh?
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here on a Thursday, getting ready for the final regular season game here at Gillette Stadium against the Buffalo Bills. 4:25 kickoff, and with a win, the Patriots guarantee themselves the second seed, or a seed, really. Could be the first seed if Denver loses.
Could be.
But we'll see.
Well, they've already guaranteed themselves a seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
They've guaranteed themselves a three or a four.
Right.
So can up that to a two or a one.
But there's still things to be played for coming up this Sunday. Andy's here. Eric's here. Eric's here? Yep.
For now.
Paul's here.
Anyway.
Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. And we're going to talk about Patriots. I hope everyone had a good Christmas yesterday. You gave what people wanted, and you got what you wanted, and all that stuff.
What'd you get, Fred?
I got a ukulele.
Now, what makes a ukulele different than a guitar?
It's four strings. It's much smaller.
Do you play?
Well, I played a little bit of guitar, so I picked it up pretty quickly.
You've already perfected it.
Oh, you know what you should learn?
I like that
what they play, the Malakaliki Laka. Yeah. You play on that, right?
Sure.
That's what you should, correct. That should be your first song to learn.
Why that song?
Malakaliki Maka on the ukulele.
It's a very famous, and it gives you a full year to be ready for next year.
Because that's what Andy knows.
Yeah. Right. I mean, are there any other famous ukulele songs?
Well, actually, you know, I went onto the YouTube and looked up, like, ukulele, and there's some people out there that really...
It's a banjo.
You know, banjo, obviously.
Right. You're right. It's a banjo.
There's some people that can really make those things go.
What are the most famous ukulele songs aside from
I think Tiptoe Through the Tulips, remember?
Right,
Tiny
with,
Tim.
Tiny Tim, yeah.
And Tiny Bubbles with Don Ho. But there's you can play pretty much
but
anything.
But that one came back and bit you in the heart, didn't it? Either that or he's just saying, I've never
I saw somebody.
I never heard of any
that's
of
what
those.
He's saying.
I've heard of them, but I don't know them.
Don Ho is a man.
No, the songs. I haven't heard the Tulip song. Right. I don't know anything about the
Tulip
song.
I was on YouTube, I saw somebody playing Stairway to Heaven on a ukulele. So you can play any song.
You went on the YouTube and you saw that?
Yeah.
Well, how do you account for the lack of strings?
Well, you just have to...
Be an artiste.
Yeah, it's not as full-bodied sound as a guitar, but...
Now it's a
shampoo.
You know? Right, I mean, what are we talking, hair?
But, you know, I play the harmonica. You can play any song on you want, you know?
Play the flute, too.
See, again, you know, it has to go there.
Wait, right? You play the harmonica?
Yeah.
When?
What do you mean, when?
When he's out on the range and he's lonely.
When I'm on tour.
The campfire's burning.
When do you play the harmonica? Like, how often a year?
The last time I played was about a year ago.
What do you play on that?
We had people over and...
Home on the range.
We were playing music. We had the piano. We had the guitar out.
You have a piano in your house?
Yeah, upright.
Of course.
You know that?
He's rich. Every rich person has a piano in their house.
It needs to be tuned. Actually, our neighbor literally gave it to us.
Yeah, because you have a rich neighbor.
Well,
that's how you guys roll.
So,
what kind of piano is it?
He's insane.
I don't know.
Telling you, I swear to God.
Paul, do you have a piano?
I'm looking for.
Has your neighbor given you a piano?
No, but
the white trash guy next door giving you a piano?
Yeah. Probably has one.
Yeah. It's in the backyard. He plays it by the bonfire.
It would either be in the backyard or in the garage.
My wife went to school. She was a music major at Ithaca for clarinet, and her brother, you know, has a band and everything. So they're very musically inclined, and her family's his family's actually coming today, so his daughters, so there'll be music being played.
Oh, so is this being forced upon you by her?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I have had a guitar.
No, Fred
for
had
a while.
All these beliefs before.
I mean, I used
just like your political views.
I used to take guitar lessons. So, I mean, so I have.
Had you mentioned that you ever wanted a ukulele?
No, never.
That's a random thing.
Is she trying to find a hobby for you, though?
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
That household is hobby driven and very much so. But the harmonica I want to get back to. I want to get back to the harmonica. What do you play on that?
I can play anything I can hear, I can play. I play completely by ear. Anything I can hum, I can play on the harmonica. Like if I can hear the tune, I can replicate it.
So do you play like Christmas music on?
I can do anything you want. You name the song, I can play.
Can you play both at the same time? You got to get one of those things.
Yeah, right.
That hang on your neck and you like
sure.
You got the ukulele. Like
Malakalikilaka.
I'm telling you.
Can you break one of these out for the Kirsch party in the summer?
Sure.
Play something.
We should have. We should.
Eric will sing.
We should do a call for anybody that has an instrument to bring it, and we'll have a soiree.
The things that we're walking down here, right? We're talking about some random thing, and I go, it's really a conflicted life I lead. And he goes, when are you going to come out of the closet? Like, that's the only way you can be conflicted about something has to be sexual.
It's in front of that mass cerebral cortex. That he has of a head.
I have CTE.
Yeah.
Well, do you play anything, Paul?
No. I have no formal artistic training.
So it's just going to be you and Eric. Anybody else, you think?
Well, my wife could.
What does she play?
She plays the clarinet.
That was my first instrument.
Yeah.
So Eric will have like a little easel set up on the side, and he'll draw a picture.
Thinking who else
That's how
there.
We'll capture it.
Bob Doyle
right?
feels like
can you
he could
that?
Play something.
Or do you need more
you
time?
Want? I don't know.
You'll need
Maybe.
More time.
He seems like
more time would be preferable.
In the past.
But Kevin, do you play anything? No.
Can you bring the piano out there? Because I,
yeah, that
on the deck. Well, can he look down?
I guess if we had enough
guys
to lift it, we could. Yeah,
right, you play that.
Well, I don't
play
the recorder.
And Andy, you can if you can lift it, you can take it out.
We
so you'll be able
the
to
deck
do that.
Door?
I'm not
right?
open.
Must be on.
Oh yeah, we got it in.
I'll have a Miller Lite in one hand. I will not be able to carry it.
Oh, it is.
I'm surprised you guys didn't see it.
I've never seen it
downstairs. Oh, you know why?
Probably had a juicer.
We had it in the office, and we moved it to the other room. That's why you haven't seen it. But now it's in the. Room there, and we just
oh, so we'll just
door.
Wheel it out, and he can play in the one,
like ragtime, think, you know, like the old bar.
You guys should all learn what does the
hey,
fox
you know,
say.
Show tunes?
What?
Learn what does the fox say? That'll be huge with the kids if you learn that song.
Yeah, we could have some live acoustic music,
and Eric will sing
acoustic sunrise.
That would be fun.
That would
That's
be
a
fun.
New element to
little
the party.
Jam yeah. session.
I like it. That's the plan.
Eat sound or whatever.
And if you could, I mean,
I can play Linus and Lucy for the kids. That's the Peanuts theme song. Which you don't like because you don't think Peanuts
I can
is
play like
good.
Jaws.
So we'll use
that. Me and TJ will be at the ice cream station. You guys can be playing music.
If there is an ice cream station this year, remember, you weren't happy with it.
Right.
Yeah, we're very unhappy with the ice cream
didn't
station.
Didn't like the presentation.
There'll be something.
That
will be.
Too messy.
Well, you can just go with the ice cream sandwiches because those are phenomenal.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Yes.
Oh, the pie, the things.
Yeah,
the
those were
the
phenomenal.
Nothing to talk about heading into week
17. Yeah, nothing else to talk about. Patriots on the verge of,
planning
a party
holiday
week.
Months from now.
It is. And
you can't just hit them hard with breakdown
Christmas
and game.
Christmas is great, but I'm exhausted. I don't know how
me
you
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? It,
I'm actually doing pretty good.
The Not heater.
Had a good night's sleep.
For some reason, we weren't getting heat to the first floor there. You know,
about the curveball.
The baseboards weren't getting hot, so the guys there fixing it right now. But I had to get the stove going and everything to heat up the first floor.
It was like the old days.
Yeah.
Had to get the wood out.
So, you wake up, it's like 58 degrees in the house. Like,
not
what the
good.
Hell?
Not good.
Christmas morning.
It's like, I woke up, my car didn't start again. Second time this week.
I told him, it might be time for a new car. And he told me to shut the fuck up.
You didn't have a new car?
No, Fred, I'm not you. I can't, Fred, can't just change socks and cars at the same time.
That's how we heat our entire house, wood stove. I'm not kidding you.
He's just staring.
I'm not kidding you.
Fred's looking at him.
I'm just not kidding.
We did that for a while as a kid.
Yeah, no, it saves you a ton of money.
My neighbor does that.
Yeah. My dad's out there, like, he's retired now. He's
I would do
it.
I mean, I want to get a wood stove.
Yeah, he just chops
my own wood
all day.
Yeah.
I wish I had a fireplace.
They're not very efficient, though.
Yeah.
Not a fireplace. You know, not a hot stove.
You need
stove.
An insert.
Oh, I want a fireplace.
Yeah, you can get a fireplace with an insert, yeah, and then it's efficient, and you can still get the ambient.
Yeah. Yeah. Fireplace ambient. Just sucks up heat.
The heat goes right out the chimney.
You need a hot stove that gets hot itself, and then with a blower that will blow the...
You just want a fireplace, though. You don't really care about the heat as much.
The heat would. The heat's a nice byproduct, but I like the ambiance
nice
of a fireplace.
Bear rug in front of it.
You and your lady friend.
I don't kill animals. I'm an animal lover.
A glass of wine.
No, bear rugs.
No bear rugs.
I don't believe in killing animals.
Yeah, that's the thing that's out of place in that
scene.
It doesn't have to be. The idea is nice.
But see, my uncle had a house in Maine, in Portland, Maine, and it didn't have heat. It was a really old house, and they didn't have like. You know, a baseboard heating or anything like that.
Right.
Plumbing.
But it had fireplaces. And whenever we would light the fire, the whole living room, and it was a giant living room.
It would get hot?
Ridiculously hot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it throws heat, but it's the percentage that how efficient it is because some of it goes up the chimney.
Well, but I mean, it's so much warmer than any room in the house.
You just close the flue, and then you're all set, and all the heat stays. Yeah.
Oh, right, and then all the smoke and everything.
Well, then you die.
Yeah. Right.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Cormac.
855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. And, yes, thank you to Cormac, who sent us lovely chocolate-covered strawberries.
From Sherry's Berries.
I haven't had one yet. I'm waiting till I have my lunch. I'm going to have one for dessert. But Andy's had two. And he says they're
and
delicious.
Counting.
They are very yummy, very sweet, very
thank you very much.
Very
Cormac.
Ripe berries inside. Yeah, I like them.
I better steal one before Andy eats.
Excellent.
You should if you want white chocolate.
And Kevin actually got them Christmas Eve and had the wherewithal to just immediately throw them in the fridge instead of letting them sit out. So good job by Kevin to get those refrigerated.
Kevin's really been on his game lately.
Yeah,
you know, producer Kevin Collins.
I'm just thankful to get a gift.
He's been on his game lately.
We don't get too many gifts as a group PFW. I'm just thankful we got one.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, well, inside the building.
You know, inside the building.
Oh, I
see. You know, during the holidays.
Message received.
Especially edible ones, right, Andy?
Right.
Message received. All right, so what are we thinking, guys? How do we feel about this team? I mean, everybody else in Patriots Nation that were worried as hell coming out of the Miami game seem to be now relieved of their fears. And as Paul said, one game made a hell of a lot of difference for all those people. But
I feel 20% better.
You feel 20% better.
Did it make a huge difference for you?
Because
it really didn't for me.
Like I said on Tuesday, it would have made a hell of a lot bigger difference if they
had
really
gotten throttled.
Just got killed by Baltimore.
I can't believe how much I agree with Fred.
Yeah.
I almost never agree with Fred. That's I totally feel the same way. If they had gotten throttled, it would have told me a lot more in a negative fashion.
Right.
I knew they were capable of playing. I didn't know they were going to win 41-7. Forget that.
Right. No one did.
Forget the blowout. I thought they had a very good chance to go to Baltimore and win the game. I thought they would lose. So I don't want to be 20/20 hindsight being, you know, I'm jumping all over it. I thought they would lose.
So a very good chance is like very, very good drafting.
I thought they had a very good chance to win the game. I thought they had a very good chance to lose.
That's how Paul means very.
Okay. But I didn't – if they had gotten throttled in Baltimore, it would have told me a lot more negative than it tells me now. I knew they were capable of playing – tough. They weren't going to quit. Every game has gone down to the wire. I knew they weren't going to roll over. I wasn't expecting them to get rolled in Baltimore. That's why
I wasn't worried about the roll.
It would have told me more if they had lost badly than it tells me.
I just wasn't sure they were capable of going on the road in that environment against that kind of team and just boom, boom, we're going to take a lead and we're going to roll the victory.
If I had to pinpoint one aspect of the team that I'm most pleased coming out, the offense did okay. You know, it didn't do great. It was 2-for-2 early, and then it kind of slowed down.
Yeah, but
the defense, you know, benefited a lot from Flacco playing, you know, but it did okay. The biggest thing, I think, was the toughness of the offensive line. Because going in, that was something that all of a sudden came up. You know, you knew Solder wasn't going to play. Josh Klein, who's he?
Against a good front.
Yeah, Logan Mankins
not
moving out.
Having
and
a strong,
against,
but against
a good
front.
And a spread front, end to end with the middle two.
We went into that game saying, boy, they need to be tough. And they were. And they did it, and they got it done. That drive at the end, protecting Brady throughout, that was the thing to me that said, okay, if they can do that, at least we know that we hope that that's not going to be a problem in the playoffs. Because they're going to meet good fronts, whether it's Cincinnati, you know, or whoever. They're going to meet teams that can get after Brady, and they're going to need to run the ball.
And they had failed in those previous matchups.
And I think that this, to me, that was if there's one thing, that was the thing for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, and that's a big part of my thinking, because the bottom line was and we talked about this a lot, the way to beat the Patriots was to have a strong defensive front, and that had been consistent this year and in past years. And I think a solid, strong defensive front on the road, they were good enough. And I actually don't have the problems about the offense. I think a lot of playoff games play out just like that. A team gets a 14 or a 17-point lead, and they really have to do very little the rest of the way except manage the game.
Right.
I think playoff football sometimes turns out like that.
And, you know, now, what am I most concerned about? I'm concerned about the offense overall because let's say Cincinnati is the team that you're playing in that divisional round. It can't be just Julian Edelman. It really can't. You know, who else?
Well,
is, you know,
it can
and
be.
It would
but
change, I'm
don't
saying,
you think it was just Julian Edelman almost because of the way Andy just said
yeah.
it? Like, they didn't throw the ball.
And I think that same yeah. environment, if you get a big pass interference and you get a turnover and you go up 14-0, to me, that happens in the playoffs. Those types, and you go, wow, I didn't see that coming where Brady would only have to throw to Edelman because the way the game turned out.
I think that happens a lot. I was very happy that they ran the ball early, often, and well.
Yeah.
Because that's something they'll need to do.
They'll need to do that. But, you know, we're going to need Vereen healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get healthy.
By the way, he's practiced.
He was out there.
The last couple of days.
Okay, good. And, you know, Dobson.
What was that?
Well, I mean.
Doesn't mean he's a go on Sunday, but he's been practicing.
I would almost like to sit him out
yeah.
this
game. I don't want him to play.
He might. Andy said that on Tuesday.
He actually, I think there's a good chance he doesn't play.
Yeah.
But he's been practicing to stay.
Even if he says I'm good.
On a limited basis,
you know,
whatever that is.
The groin did not detach, so I think that, you know.
So it's not good.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of pain.
Yeah. So
he's in a lot of pain. That groin is still in place.
It didn't detach?
No, we're just joking.
So
I didn't know if he knew. So we need him healthy
you know, for the playoffs.
Well, Paul stares at groins a lot. He knows when they detach.
Well, I haven't stared at Shane Vereen's though. Yeah. Only Amendola's.
You know, we got to get
I love Boyce.
We got to get Dobson back into the mix. You know,
The first pass they threw Sunday was to him.
It was. Yeah, I know. I think that, you know, we got to get that offense going again. I don't think it's going yet.
It's not going to get going again.
I think
because the guy that got it going isn't going to play anymore.
Yeah, I think the offense is sort of going to be what you see. But I'm not as concerned about their performance on Sunday because of the way Andy said it. I don't think that they played very well offensively on Sunday, but I also think that they played to the score a little bit. Now, there were some times, and I made mention of this in our post game when we were talking about this, the whole situation in the third and fourth quarter, there were five possessions that they had in the in the second half up until that last drive that they ran the ball. And they only run the ball six times on those five possessions. And to me, with a 20-0 lead, that's not enough. And you had a lot of three and outs. You had a lot of pass three and outs. That to me is not the way to do what Andy talked about in terms of, you know, sort of jumping out to a lead and maintaining the game. That's why, to me, they won the game on defense the other day. And that to me was the surprising part
right.
that I don't think any of us saw coming. Andy's right. A lot of playoff games play out like that because a lot of playoff teams have good, solid defense that you can play to. You get the two-score lead and you play, you know, a little close to the vest and you manage the game. I'm not sure the Patriots have a defense that's going to consistently be able to do that. They right. did it on Sunday.
Yeah.
They were dominant on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, whether you want to put it all on Flacco or you want to say it was all Patriots defense, doesn't matter to me. They never allowed Baltimore to get even close to back in that game.
Yep. So, all right. So what else? Around the NFL,
John Kitna's back.
John Kitna got signed by the Cowboys.
Tony Romo's dead, but he isn't.
Jason Garrett had a...
Do you think that whole thing is strange?
Yeah. I do. I brought it up because I wanted to give you a take.
Okay, go.
Jason Garrett just had a press conference this morning, was very vague about whether or not, you know, he left it really in doubt whether or not Romo's going to play. You know, I watched a lot of that game at the end. I didn't see where he got hurt or that he was hurting. I think that Romo's playing this up a little bit. I don't think he's that hurt.
Wow. Talk about a take I didn't see coming.
Wait, you didn't see the...
I was
when he was
making,
throwing the pass and he was like hopping back
yeah,
to the...
Yeah, I think he's full of it.
I think he was faking that.
Yeah, I think
so you think he's going to sit...
I think he's pulling a Bobby Humphreys.
You think he's sitting up... I don't even know who Bobby
Stan
Humphreys
is. Stan Humphreys.
Stan Humphreys.
Yeah.
Former Charger QB?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
This guy used to get hit once a game where you thought he was dead. and he would set out a play, and then he'd come back.
Okay, well, Tony Romo's not going to play on Sunday, so you're insinuating that he's faking an injury and therefore not going to play.
No, I think he is going to play.
No, he's not.
I think he is going to play.
Okay.
He had it. He had the epidermal shot so that he could.
He sounds like
Archie. Then why did they sign John Kitna?
Just as insurance.
For what?
Plus, Garrett said they only had one quarterback. They needed a guy for practice.
Right, so why do they need three? If they only have one, why do they need three?
They said they needed a guy for practice.
But you don't think he's hurt, so they don't need a guy.
I think he's going to play.
No, he's not.
The part that I thought was strange, Andy, epidermal. You sound like Archie Bunker. The part that I found
it's
funny
not a good thing.
Was the Jason Garrett. That's the part that, it's apparent that he's not playing. I mean, Vegas has already installed Philadelphia as like a 6.5-point favorite. It'd be off the board if it was at all unquestioned whether or not.
It would be the worst story of Adam Schefter's career.
Right. I mean, if it was at all in question, the game would be off the board, like the Packers game still is. Why does he insist on continuing with the charade? And then today, to reference Andy Fred's point about the Garrett press conference this morning, he was asked specifically if he would need to play. At what point do you need to know if he's going to be able to play? Would he have to practice? And Garrett said something along the lines of, at some point we'd need to see him take some snaps. He didn't practice today.
Right.
He's not practicing today if practice has not already happened. That was what I read on Twitter. He's not practicing today. So it's not. I don't think it's a ruse. Now, I don't know when he got hurt, but he's not going to play on Sunday. Why Jason Garrett will not just say that.
Yeah, I think
I don't understand.
I think he's going to play.
Okay. Yeah. I hope you're right.
I think that's all they've got left in the Cowboys is, look at how much he's trying for you.
Well, I think the funny part is people have been constantly saying, can they win with Romo? And now it's, can they win without Romo?
Right.
I mean, make up your mind.
Right.
But by all accounts, he's going to have the exact surgery that Gronk did.
Yeah. He's got a herniated disc.
What is it called?
Discectomy?
Discectomy. Mm. Can you say that, Fred?
Discectomy.
No. Well,
apparently no is the answer.
Answer, no.
And
epidermal.
I believe, like Gronk, it is the second one he's going to have on a different area. Very very similar.
When did he have the first one?
I don't know.
Like pre-Cowboys?
I don't know. I heard a doctor on ESPN talking about it, and I believe he said, unrelated, but same surgery he's previously had.
Wow.
That was the case with Gronk. Unrelated.
It was, that's right.
But same minor surgery, if you call back surgeries minor.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't either.
Very funny email from
very
Brett.
He TBS.
Says, he says, Paul, any truth to the rumor Danny Amendola is the new spokesperson for Floramo's Barbecue, where the meat falls off the bone?
No. Who said that?
Brett. And he also
obviously
says, Andy,
local.
What are your thoughts on Jenny Dell living with Will Middlebrooks?
Is that out there now?
I was going to say, is that I know nothing about it.
Oh, I guess that they had photos of them. Like, yeah, there's no doubt.
Well, there was never any doubt.
Having sex.
But
no, not no.
Because oh,
isn't he either newly
unlike
married
you? I would have checked those
engaged?
Out with Jenny Dell.
What?
Isn't he either newly married or engaged?
I don't believe so.
Oh,
but that don't
not anymore. Apparently.
Well, there's also photos out there of her that are being disputed.
But they're not her.
Well, yeah.
Oh.
Well, they're nude.
Oh, really?
He's like, whoa,
he
knows, whoa,
he
really?
Knows nothing about it because
that,
he would only be checking out if they were middle
breast.
She doesn't
she
have a penis.
She wouldn't be that stupid.
They're very old.
Yeah.
They're pre-enhancements.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Then I'm not interested.
They're still impressive.
Yeah.
Not as impressive. But... Is this unprofessional?
A little bit. A little bit. But, yeah, there's the Red Sox.
Totally inappropriate. I don't understand how you can have a sideline reporter and a player living together.
She's just been with him for a while.
This all season.
If it's out there.
Well,
yeah, it all depends on.
Well, all the. I mean, this.
Otherwise, we know nothing.
She wouldn't be the first. I think it's Nesson or whatever that ended up hooking up with a player. It's been out. Then others.
Yeah, but you would think that it would be frowned upon.
Yeah.
Would you not?
Not if you're the player.
You just find another.
Be
one.
Smiled
now,
upon.
Just I mean, for a long time
Have
here,
you seen her?
Female employees weren't even allowed to be in the locker room.
That's correct.
Right? Now, that has changed in the last, say, four or five
legally
years.
Legally, they had to, right?
Plus, Eric needed to do his job.
Oh.
He's just eating a strawberry.
Now, don't tell me the next time that it hurts more coming from me, because I never say anything that's as hurtful as that.
I think he does.
That was just mean.
So.
He's
what
a
else?
Mean person.
Anything else around the league? I read a thing today that Wizenhunt will be a hot candidate for open.
I think
jobs.
He should be. Why
you think
not?
So?
He's done a good job with that offense this year.
Right, but isn't that kind of the point? Is there's some guys that should?
Well,
be,
yes,
you know?
This could be his last chance to prove he's not just a coordinator. But I think there's a lack of head coaches out there,
And it's going to be a lot of jobs.
Yeah. By the way, if we want to continue the interesting coaching angles, did you see that? Apparently, reportedly, Greg Schiano and somebody else have already put their names in the hat for the Penn State job if Bill O'Brien leaves to take an NFL job.
Wow. Mm.
All of those people are currently employed.
That'd be funny if
where is
the Buccaneers just say, look, we'll Chargers. Just swap. We'll give you Schiano, give us O'Brien. Yeah.
Matt, well, I mean, that's not ridiculous because no. He has a big buyout. You give them the coach, and I mean, I guess if all parties agreed somehow.
But if I'm O'Brien, I don't take that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that one either.
But, you know, even Schiano in college, wasn't he, like, hard to deal with?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Remember he had the square box that scouts had
right.
to stand in?
Yes.
So as a school president
as
or
opposed
AD,
to round
do I really
boxes.
Want to have to deal with that, you know?
Inside the squared circle.
You know, if you're a college,
male penises.
Do you really want to bring in a guy that you know right from the get-go is going to be this despot?
I don't know what a despot is. So
dictator.
I don't know.
Dictator.
Well, on some level, they're all dictators, or a lot of them. Not Joe Philbin, sorry.
Yeah,
Joe Philbin runs a democracy.
Some are enlightened despots, and some are tyrannical despots.
What's Pete Carroll? What would you consider Pete Carroll? He doesn't seem like he's a... You know, evil, domineering type of
no, not
manager.
Necessarily. No, but he does it. That's why he has Tom Cable there. He's the guy who he sends out to do his dirty work.
Right. So he doesn't actually do it. He has,
but he's kind of doing it by extension. He's overseeing it.
And with Cable, there's always a chance that he might actually hit you.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
But I mean, he's his enforcer. Hmm. You don't think there are some people that play themselves off as one thing, but have people do their dirty work for him?
I think
Carroll does some of that.
I totally agree with that. But I also think. Based on what we've heard, and we don't experience it because we don't cover Schiano, but based on some of the things that we've heard about Schiano, he takes it a little bit to an extreme.
Yes, but I also think he can win in a college program.
Can he win?
I think he can set up a college program and probably would be pretty good.
I think he could probably win if he's a good enough coach doing it that way here. I just don't think that's the best way to go about
it. I'm not sure he can do it in the NFL.
I don't think it's the best way to go.
But in college, I think he can bring that disciplinary style, and I think it you have more legs, more ability to do
that. People also said that, if you recall, about Tom Coughlin when he left BC, went to the Jags. People, like a lot of Jaguars guys were ready to revolt back then. And then,
he
won.
You're absolutely right.
And but he won. That's the difference.
He did the same thing with the Giants.
Right.
And you know, if you're five minutes early for the meeting, you're late.
Yeah.
You know, all that crap. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't go over well. But you know
especially
what?
When you
can coach, when you can coach, you can win. I think Schiano's biggest problem is I think he's an average coach. Mm. I don't think he's a great coach. But I agree with Andy. It doesn't hold as much water in the NFL when you have the same veteran players that say, you know what?
Yeah.
They're saying to themselves, I'm going to be here longer than you, bud.
Yeah.
You know, in college, you don't have that luxury. College, you have a four-year scholarship, and you better toe the line.
You're beholden.
You know, you're going
to
be one of those guys, well, why were you at two different schools? You know, why did you leave this one? Why? And all of a sudden, you become, you know, one of those players that falls in the draft because there's questions about whether or not you can take coaching.
Right. So, any other news before we get to emails and phone
Pro
calls?
Pro Bowl voting ends today.
Yep.
So if you're looking to sneak a Patriot in, get online and start pounding the keyboard.
Who? I mean, other than Tom Brady, of the active players, who is the guy that most deserves to be in the Pro Bowl for the Patriots this year?
Most deserves to be?
I think Gaskowski is a,
I like that pick.
I think he actually is getting a lot of
I think he was
votes.
Leading the last I heard, but
he was.
I'm not sure he's the lock that you think he is based on. You know, I was talking to Andy about this.
A lot of good kickers.
I think he's having an historic season.
Mm.
And then every week when I do the special teams, every kicker's doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
There's like every kicker has missed two or three field goals, and they're all in the 30s for makes.
Right.
You know, including the guy we just saw.
Right.
You know, Justin Tucker, who actually ironically missed one. Missed a chip shot, too, 37-yarder.
Yeah. Wasn't ironic. Wasn't by chance.
Yeah. No.
It was me getting my ass kicked.
We all know how these things work. They play the Patriots, they miss.
Okay, let's go beyond Gaskowski. Who's most deserving to be in the Pro Bowl?
How about Devin McCourty?
Not for my money.
I think maybe because there's a lack of real good safety.
That's part of it.
Matthew Slater.
Is there, though?
I'm just swayed by the last game I saw.
I don't know. I mean, none jump out at me.
Oh, okay.
I guess Eric Berry is pretty good.
He's very good.
Yes.
He's excellent.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a ton of Patriots Pro Bowl candidates, personally.
I mean, I would take Earl Thomas, yeah. Cam Chancellor from Seattle. Yeah.
And that's
good.
The other problem you face now. You don't just have AFC safeties.
That's true.
Safeties.
I forgot
you
about that.
You have to think NFL safeties because it's all...
Is that how they're voted, too? You don't vote?
Oh, yeah. You're
AFC.
Voting for
yeah,
the
you're
top,
voting for the top
okay.
six players at a position, yeah. wherever they are.
Okay.
I don't think there's a single Pro Bowler on the team.
I don't think he has a chance. But
it's not about the best individual players, Fred. It's about the best team.
It's the right 53, not the best 53.
Now, in terms of the season that he's had,
me that.
He's not going to make it.
Some guy with a big chest sticking out.
Because this guy's with unbelievable numbers. But Edelman has had a Pro Bowl caliber season. Yeah. From start to finish, he's been very consistent. But he's going to...
This guy laughed every time you brought Welker up. Now he's got Edelman.
Wait, did I say... Wait a minute.
I don't know what it is with Paul.
Stop, you're embarrassing yourself.
What did you have
yourself.
Against Welker?
Stop, you're embarrassing against... yourself.
Is he really a
did
Pro
I
Bowler?
Ever say that,
is he really a Pro
did
Bowler?
Did I ever say
really?
The seasons that Welker caught really? 120 passes that he didn't belong in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know.
Okay.
You said it was loose change. Anybody could do it. Not that impressive.
And in year one of my little project, I've been proven correct because a guy just stepped right in and did the same exact thing. Thank you. No further questions.
You're right. When Tom Brady knows no one else on the field, he has chosen to throw with the guy that got an apartment down the street so he could throw with him in the offseason and shares the same agent and the same logo.
So now you're downgrading
haircut.
Edelman for
haircut.
Having to carry the entire offense. Whereas Welker was just
one of
many.
I'm just saying, I think Tom Brady has stuck with what he knows when everything else hit the fan.
And the guy that he's stuck with has delivered more often than not.
Yeah.
Without having the luxury of Gronkowski and Hernandez opening up extra space for him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's had a fine year.
Nothing
impressive.
And that's all I said.
I mean, I'm sorry. When you catch 100 balls and you're neck and neck to try to get
1,000. No, it's not impressive.
I'm trying to get...
Well, now 100 catches
considering
isn't
Welker
impressive.
Generally was in the 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 instead of
once.
I need 9 yards to get over 1,000 with 100 catches.
Nah.
He's got about 20 fewer catches than Welker usually got. Otherwise, he would have the 1,200 yards, yeah, too.
Maybe. At that 9
All
yards
All I'm saying
catch.
Is there's not that much. 10 yards a catch. That's Welker.
Nah.
10 yards a catch. That's what
I think
Wes
he's
Welker
been fine.
Did.
I don't think he's been as good as Welker.
I don't think he's
I think
been,
there's been
as
less
good
yards.
As well
I think
either.
There's been less first down plays. I think there's been more times where you saw him short of the sticks or, you know, it wasn't quite the same and they had to go off the field than it was with Welker. I don't think it's been quite the same, quite as good.
Well, I think...
So it doesn't diminish anything, even a little bit, of what Welker did for you?
Not really.
That's good, solid, Paul.
Because I don't just put it in the numbers. To me, what part of the greatness of Welker was getting the first down on third down, getting his head knocked off on the first down on third down, going right back to the huddle. That was all part of it with me.
It was part of it with me, too. That was the only part that I actually gave him credit for.
Yes,
was
I know.
Durability.
I know. Believe me, I know.
I mean,
what about Chandler Jones?
If durability wasn't a question, Chandler Jones. Well, yeah. He's going to have he's the opposite. He's going to have the numbers, and I don't think he had as good a year as a guy like Edelman did, who doesn't really have the numbers to make a Pro Bowl at that position.
Right.
You just see it like Josh Gordon, by the way, is averaging almost 20 yards a catch.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't really
that's unbelievable.
Think of as Edelman as a Pro Bowler.
Well, I'm not putting – he's not a Pro Bowler. I said that. He's not He's not a Pro
Bowler. No, we're talking about
I
Pro Bowlers.
I said he had a Pro Bowler caliber season.
Don't you think Hankins will get in?
He doesn't belong in the Pro Bowl with
just probably, you know.
Calvin Johnson and
Josh Gordon, guys that are putting up legit numbers.
Yeah.
But I think the offensive line has been – underperformed all year.
Maybe, but
he's the leader of it, therefore I downgrade him for it.
I think Mankins gets the respect from coaches and players because of his technical ability, just his durability, toughness.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he might go.
Reputation.
Yep.
I got nobody other than Slater.
How about Tlaib?
I can't give out Pro Bowls for a month and a half.
No. He's been good. He's been solid. When I've seen him play, though, I haven't thought, boy, he's having a Pro Bowl year.
Well, early in the year, I did.
I thought he was having a defensive player of the year.
Right.
For about 4 or 5 weeks. Now, he didn't do
very
it
early on.
It's a 16-week season.
Enough.
Very early on, yeah.
But yeah, I think you have to stack him up against the competition. I think the two safeties over at Seattle, you know, might get more votes.
Who are we talking about now?
Richard Sherman you're talking about?
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about who's going to get in. I'm talking about who has worthy of consideration. because you never know how the votes are going to go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, by all accounts, Joe Hayden's had a very good year for the Browns.
I just think Tlaib second half was so much
different. Right. Most of it was either injured or we got to put you in the slot against a H-back. I mean, just
I agree.
It petered out.
What about Matthew Slater?
That'd be my guy.
Yeah.
And I'm swayed by last week's.
I can't imagine, based on the way every single guy on TV talks about him, I can't imagine he's not going to make it again.
Right.
I mean, Phil Sims, Chris Collinsworth, every guy, and for my money, the best in the league. They're not just kind of evaluating special teams players. They're hearing that stuff.
Right.
And he is great.
And to go from Larry Izzo, who was always in the Pro Bowl for that, and then to Matthew Slater, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
With different coordinators, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Validating his draft pick.
Yeah.
To some degree.
So, yeah.
Somewhat. You know, he could be Nate Ebner.
But became a captain.
I think Chandler Jones
captain,
could get some consideration. I don't think he'll be a starter.
You know, because a lot of times, you know, we don't know about how other teams and coaches really feel about our players. And if at every prep meeting for a game, you know, coaches are telling their players, we got to account for this guy. He's real, you know. That influences their voting, and we don't even know about that, you know. So, you know, we see.
I'm just thinking, I'd be the worst. Like, if I was one of those TV guys that was doing the you know, the broadcast meetings, you know, you talk to both coaches, and I'd be like, oh, that's what Bill said. I'd be like,
I don't think
like,
you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know what.
I think you'd be in many of those meetings.
You know, we don't know what other. To me, it all goes back to the Richard Seymour thing. There were a lot of games where we would be like, yeah, what really did Seymour do? You know, he had three tackles. But then
that's the position.
But then, right. But then you hear about what the coaches and players think of him, and it's like, wow, there must be stuff we just don't see that they appreciate that, you know, we don't because we're just not aware of it.
But I think that happens more at D-tackle, guard, interior. If you're a defensive end, some aspect of the job is dominating where everybody can see, right?
Yeah, unless, you know, they're really paying so much attention to him.
But they're running right at him. Are we talking about Chandler Jones?
Chandler Jones, okay.
They're running right at him, and I think he's been okay as a pass rusher. He's put up good numbers, not great numbers, hasn't dominated, hasn't, you know, caused a lot of forced fumbles and different things like that. So he's had a good second season, borderline Pro Bowl season.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot because I think people are going to look at the Patriots and say, well, this is one of the better teams in the league. You know, why are they there? And beyond Brady, obviously, they're going to look around, and they're going to try to find some play, and they're going to see, you know, well, Wilfork's not there. Mayo's not there. You know, like, who? All right, Gronkowski's not there.
Tell you who should go is Rob Gronkowski.
They got to have some Pro Bowls.
I don't, you know, I'm not voting for Tlaib on six games. I'll vote for Gronk on six games or whatever it was. Mm. Gronk can go to my, because he's the best, by far the best. He won't play, so you can give somebody the
any
slot.
Votes?
I don't know, but he should, because he's the best.
What about Coach of the Year?
That's so flawed. It's ridiculous. Because Tlaib was every bit as dominant in those in the first five or six games as Gronk
I'm just
was.
Telling you.
Coach of the Year.
Belichick needs to get a lot of consideration.
Yeah, he does.
Should win it. Probably won't. No one likes him. That's what
I mean,
says.
My guess is Andy Reid is probably going to win
Reid
it.
Andy Reid and Bruce Arians are in the mix, I think. Belichick certainly. I told Albert Breer on Twitter that they should just rename the award, the Bill Belichick Award, so that in good conscience we can give it to somebody else every year. And he said, oh, that's surprising coming from you.
Means a lot more coming from you.
I mean, there's plenty of good candidates. I think Chip Kelly deserves some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who else we got?
Although, did Chip Kelly
Ron
get
Rivera?
A little lucky?
Ron Rivera,
oh,
certainly.
Chip Kelly's been immensely lucky. Did you see that stuff that they had this week about them?
No.
All the games that they've played?
Even Pete?
Right before somebody major went out.
Right.
They've had a lot of their wins, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's like five of their wins have come, you know, the week before they went to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers' first game that he missed.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. And they even played Minnesota without Adrian Peterson. Now they lost that game, but they've had some very good fortune.
They've had a run there. I don't know, Chip Kelly, yes, he did better than I thought he would. There's no doubt about it.
Pete Carroll is certainly going to be a consideration.
Absolutely. He's got that team pumped and jacked, you know?
Yeah, pumped, with an emphasis on a pump.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
There's a lot of good candidates. But we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Yeah, but I put Bill in there with any of them.
Absolutely. A lot of people think this is his best year coaching, and if that's true, then yes, he's the coach of the year.
Paul's looking at me blankly.
It's amazing how he can manage to poke me, even after I say, Bill's got to be up there with any of them. So in other words, if you think this was his best year, he automatically has to be the coach of the year.
That's correct.
Because no one else could have had their best job that would be in line.
Yeah, but the best year of the greatest coach that ever
coached. And there it is.
And there it is. Has to be the best.
Oh, I got exactly what you were talking about.
Mr. Right. Rich Eisen, and there it is.
Okay. It's getting to the end of the year. I'll go back to what I've said always. I don't think these awards should not take in playoffs. I think they should. Playoffs should necessarily not be the end all. I mean, you don't have to go all the way to be considered, but I do think that playoffs should be considered in these end of year awards.
Absolutely
for
agree.
Player, defense, offense, rookie, all that stuff.
I agree. For the coach, I think that. I don't know about all of them. I don't know why I'm making a divide in my mind, but I think for the coach to, you know, finish the job or to make the most of whatever's going on with his team at the hardest part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't care either way, but I have no problem if you guys want to include playoffs. You know, but a situation like this year, like you guys just said, Arians probably, you know, because I think that's a terrible team. And the fact that they're doing as well as they are, if they go 11-5 and don't make the playoffs, then he can't enhance his, his resume.
But more often than not, the coach of the year candidate is going to get in the postseason.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there's a greater chance that Adrian Peterson has a great year and should be the MVP and may not be in the postseason. So I think there's a better chance if you include postseason, you might kind of be eliminating a player more often than a coach.
Yeah, like I said, if you want to include playoffs, I don't have any argument against that. That's fine.
But I don't want it to become the guy who won the Super Bowl, so he's the coach of the year.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the way I look at it. That's what I think everything is. Well, you know, you can't argue Brady Manning because Brady has three Super
Maybe
Bowls.
You vote on it before the games on the AFC to NFC title weekend. That way you're not influenced by the final two, and I don't know why I'm saying that.
Yeah.
And coach of the year is a funny one anyway because it tends to go to
it's coy.
Well, it depends. It tends to go to the teams that are deemed to have done more with less.
Cody.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know.
Or turns it around.
Everybody keeps talking about Pete Carroll, but I don't, I don't dispute that, but I don't think he'll get a lot of consideration.
Well, that's why Belichick didn't get it every year.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of years that he didn't because I think people felt like he had the best team.
Them. Right.
Now, this year, that's not the case because they lost so much personnel. Right.
But there's two schools of thought on one of the lead candidates, Andy Reid. One school, you could say he has a ton of talent. He had 6 Pro Bowlers. But the other school says, with that talent, the last coach sucked. So one of the only major changes, now he brought in his quarterback, obviously, but is the coach, and he made them that much better. So isn't that the perfect scenario of the coach made the difference, so he deserves the praise?
And then, but now you go into your whole playoff thing, and they're completely staggering to the stretch, having lost 4 of their last 5. You know, what ends up happening, you know, they're probably going to end up losing this game because I don't think they're going to play anybody.
Right.
It seems like San Diego is a big favorite in that game. Then what? You know, do you go by the first 9 games of the season?
But then they go to New England and they win in New England. You got to give them credit.
Right.
What? What did you say?
You would have to give him credit.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying right, like that's going to happen.
No, if he did, I mean, yeah.
I mean, then he's gone.
Coach of the century, yeah. Sure.
Pull off that kind of upset.
If he beat the great Bill Belichick.
All right, let's get to some emails. Pat's in Agawam. He says, hope everyone had a good Christmas. One thing I've been hearing a lot is concern over playing Kansas City in the divisional round of the playoffs. Granted, we win on Sunday. Why? What's all the fuss about? Alex Smith is a decent quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, and they run the ball really good. But has anyone seen their defense the last 6 weeks? It hasn't been that good. They gave up 10 points to Washington in that span, which isn't impressive at all. They gave up 31 points to the Raiders. The Raiders! All the rest of their games were losses, which they gave up on an average of 31.5 points per game. The only team I'd be worried to play in the AFC playoffs would be Denver, and I think we could beat them too. I'm not punching their ticket to the Meadowlands quite yet, but I'm cautiously optimistic they can get to and win the Super Bowl. Much like most of you guys, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost their first playoff game either. I did a little reflecting after the Baltimore game. Came to the conclusion that I can't really bitch about this team and this era of Patriots football. Boy, it took you that to realize that. In this era, they've given me back much more positively than my fair share of suffering that I endured through the late 80s and early 90s when I started really watching and rooting for the team. I'm happy with this season considering all that's happened, and every subsequent win from now throughout the playoffs is just icing on the cake for me. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Prediction, Super Bowl. Patriots 32, Carolina 29.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Oh, yeah. Repeat of the other.
Yeah.
What was it, 38? Super Bowl 38?
Yes. Houston. About 45 minutes.
So what do you think about that? I mean,
I'm one of those that fears the Chiefs. Yeah. I think, A, the Justin Houston effect on that defense is colossal. You know, that's a defensive player of the year type candidate. But even without that, I don't feel great about our offense. So even though the Kansas City defense is struggling, that doesn't necessarily make me feel good. And I've said it again. Alex Smith doesn't make mistakes. I think the key to this defense is somebody that can make mistakes. That benefits them greatly. And Jamaal Charles scares the hell out of me. The guy, how many reception touchdowns did he have a couple weeks ago? I know Dante Hightower's playing great and everything, but we have a safety who would also be involved with that, who's concussed. I have concerns about that offense being good enough to beat us matchup-wise.
It seems to me Kansas City is a team that would do well in bad weather.
I think it's a bad matchup for us.
You know?
I do, too.
Yeah, if you played here and it snowed,
the big question would be
the health.
You
can't say advantage Patriots.
No.
Well, I still would because of Brady. I know Brady has. Yeah. I know Brady can play well in the snow. I don't know what they're going to do in the snow.
Yeah.
But I know Brady will play well in the snow because he always has. But the big question for me if I were a Kansas City fan would be, is this slump on defense strictly related to the guys that are sitting out? And if that's the case, then I would have a lot of confidence going forward. They did play Denver twice in those games, and Denver is the best offense perhaps in history, you know, depending on what happens this week. So the fact that they've allowed so many points isn't necessarily an indicator that they stink now on defense.
Right.
You know, they've played some good offenses and you know, they've struggled without some of their personnel. If Justin Houston can come back, like Andy said, and Ali can be close to full strength, maybe that defense is capable of slowing down an offense that, let's face it, for the Patriots, it's been sort of sporadic.
Right.
It hasn't been like we're used to in just rolling teams.
Gus is in Boston. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas. You filthy animals. First off, my favorite part of the Ravens game was the fact that the Patriots smacked them in the mouth early and put a quick stop to that awful Seven Nation Army chant. Do you get the sense that Josh McDaniels could put this team at a disadvantage in the playoffs? When the team is fully healthy, I think he is very creative with play calling. But for this team, I feel like he can get way too pass happy. I know the timing of this email might not be the best with the run-pass splits from the Raven game, but even early in the second half, it seemed like he wanted to abandon the run game. I feel like for this team to win in the playoffs, they need to run, and set up the play action. I know this goes against Paul's vision of a passing-to-win league, but the Patriots must win with the hand they've been dealt. And finally, just for fun, knowing that what you know, would you trade Jamie Collins, Josh Boyce, Logan Ryan, and Michael Buchanan to the Vikings for Cordarrelle Patterson?
Who was it again?
I think about it.
It's Jamie Collins, Josh Boyce, Logan Ryan, and Michael Buchanan for Patterson.
I think about it.
I think Patterson's
pretty good.
Yeah.
They need to get him more involved in the passing game, but yeah, when the ball's in his hands, he's dynamic.
And I want to be clear, in hindsight, I didn't love what I saw of Patterson on tape. I didn't necessarily think they needed to go all in and get him in the first round, but he's proven to be a pretty good playmaker. You need more. To give up four players for one, you'd probably need to get a little bit something back in return.
Yeah,
but I know what he's doing there with the whole draft picks and stuff like that. But
I like Logan Ryan, though. I'd have a hard time giving him up.
Like him a little.
I like Collins, too. I think he's got
like
upside.
Him a little, too.
Yeah. I think Collins is going to be the best. But yeah. I think he could be a star. Yeah. I am very intrigued by his length and his athleticism, and I think he is a – there's a lot of room for growth. I know one of the things about Alabama players is like this whole theory that – maybe he maxes them out there.
Yeah.
I don't think Jamie Collins is anywhere near maxed out in terms of his potential.
I would say no. I say, look, if you think that position, at Patterson's position, is something you really need, keep all those guys and then go for the quality instead of quantity in the next draft. Because if you give up all those guys and you get Patterson, now you're back to having to get a bunch of guys to replace them. So,
right. I wouldn't trade four guys for Patterson.
But
he's not that good.
You can do the opposite, too.
Yeah.
You could get Patterson, and then in this year's draft, the one, the two, and the three, you take a corner
well,
and
have
an outside
to.
Linebacker.
Right. Yeah.
So either way, you're going
to
fill a void in this year's draft.
Yeah.
But I'm not in love with the four guys that, I mean.
I thought you loved Boyce.
I like boys.
But he did pick four guys that, you know, you'd have to stop
well,
and
that's,
think.
But because of the draft, that's
the
whole.
That's the comparison. Right.
But I mean, I think that he meant that as, like, no one would do that. And to me, Patterson is far better than any of those four individuals.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have to think about it.
I just wanted to say that I discovered your show this past spring, and you've been the voice of my commute each and every day. And I wanted to thank you all for the work you guys do.
Thank you. By buying lunch. Oh, wait.
I didn't say that.
Rachel just simply writes in, why does KC scare you and not Cincinnati?
Well, I think the quarterback doesn't make mistakes. We talked about this the other day. Andy Dalton is more boom and bust than Alex Smith. I think he's capable of putting up a big day to toast you. I also think he's capable of throwing three picks and giving the season away.
If you tell me going in, if I know going in, the Bengals will not turn the ball over, I am more afraid of the Bengals than I am the Chiefs. However, the odds of Alex Smith not turning it over are greater than Andy Dalton not turning it over.
Okay.
And I also think their best defensive player isn't coming back. Kansas City's best defensive player is coming back.
Right.
Yeah, but he's a defensive tackle.
I'd be concerned with either of those teams coming.
He looked pretty good when he was really knifing through and tackling Brady for a loss.
That was one play.
We know Cincinnati can give you trouble. Yeah,
in Cincinnati, I am on an island on this one. I don't want to necessarily see them either. I think those teams are pretty good. Now, I don't know if they have the pedigree to win.
They don't.
Cincinnati hasn't been able to do it, but if you play Cincinnati, assuming that we beat Buffalo, if we play Cincinnati, it's going to be after they finally win a playoff game.
Right.
And who knows what that does for their collective psyche. Maybe all of a sudden the monkey's off. And they say, hey, all right, we could do this. Or maybe we beat them 50-0. I don't know. You know, and Andy's saying, no, that's a Pulse guy, Marvin Lewis.
I just thought he's a career like 500 coach. So if he wins one, he's going to lose one to balance it out.
That's what happens. You know, Paul loves Marvin Lewis. He would hire it tomorrow and face Belichick. I just thought I'd handle your side of the argument for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'm a little tired.
Mike in Norfolk writes, and am I the only one that gets frustrated when McDaniels dials up a screen for 7 or 8 yards and then waits 25 plays before he calls another one? I realize the screen becomes less effective when it's overused, but many teams run it with much more frequency than the Patriots and continue to be effective. Would you like to see more called? I feel like this could help against teams like the Seahawks or Panthers of the last few years who have out-muscled our tiny little receivers at the line but might not be able to deal with quickness and space.
Well, it's a double-edged sword.
So Carolina can definitely deal with quickness and space.
Well, but like a team like Seattle, the screen is, there's two theories. They're so aggressive that you can take advantage of their aggressive play with a screen.
But
the problem
fast.
Is they're so fast,
right.
They can generally make up for whatever they give up in the aggressive part by still getting back and making
the
play.
That's why I said 2 weeks ago, Patriots have to get tough. They have to run the ball. Mm. They got to run the ball because these defenses are fast.
All the time? Like, are you ready to say?
No, to soften them up.
They need to run the ball 35 times every game.
No,
are you ready
I'm not
to just say
that.
Boom.
Of course not. I'm going to look at personnel. I'm not going to be stupid and try to.
Well, I don't know that there's anybody you say you can't run against.
But I think you got to assume that, you know, these, especially in the Super Bowl, if you go against Carolina or Seattle, these are fast defenses. They're going to meet these screens at the line, and, you know, they're not going to work all the time. You know, over the middle, you know, we're not going to get yards after catch. We've got to run the ball to soften them up.
Are people really as disappointed with the play calling as it would seem, or are these just a couple of outliers?
It's the first thing people go to.
Because I look at it, and I just look at all the different guys that they're missing offensively, and I go back to not just injuries, but, you know, and Hernandez, too, and the state that Amendola has played the whole season in. And I wonder, like, what exactly are you hoping for? Because I think they still do a great job of running those stack routes where, you know, they're cutting in and out, and they're
basically
creating rubs and getting guys open.
Rubs, Eric, we
and they
call
do
them.
It. Yeah, we don't call them picks. They're rubs. But I honestly feel like that. And I don't think this is as good an offense as we've seen, but it's obvious as to why.
Right.
But I still think they find a, you know, like, I don't ever come out of a game and say, man, I wish they threw more screens today. I don't have a problem generally with play calling. There have been times, like the Miami game, where I thought they got down close and didn't run the ball enough.
That's a frequent complaint, though, of people.
But that's not the – I mean, like, I didn't say, like, wow, that one really screamed for a screen pass there. I never find myself saying that.
No, I also have the old question of if it screams for a screen pass, doesn't the defense know it screams for a screen? Like, And the back and forth.
He kind of alluded to that in his own email, too, saying, you know, he runs a good screen and then doesn't run it again for 2020. But as he continued, yeah, you can't run just right. screen after screen after screen.
And I think what Brady's been doing, like, you know, the last couple games when he goes up against those good fronts is instead of the screen, they do that quick out, that quick little pass.
Well, and a lot of those are screens.
And then you hope that the guy beats the first guy,
yeah.
and then he's got you know, yeah. because of the formation,
that's a good point
he'll have yards after the catch if he beats that first guy.
But that's a good point because those are screens. Those are wide receiver screens. They don't all have to beat to running backs.
No, but they're usually a screen, you have the blocking set up. This one, there's no blocker. He's got to beat the first guy or the play doesn't work.
Well, there's usually a receiver.
Yeah, it's a receiver yeah. inside yeah. whose job it
and
is to block.
And oftentimes somebody yeah. else coming, yeah.
and
a tight
that's where
end
the
or,
rub
pulling
comes
guard, the tackle yeah. who I think right. can't make the block ever, but right. occasionally they do.
There was that time Matt Light did it, and you said, no,
son
of
a bitch,
he
did it. Only took him 5 years.
LT from Adelaide writes in, you guys do such a great work, and just as the Patriots spoil us each year in and year out with great seasons, the same can be said for the four of you and Kevin, who put together the great best sports podcast in the world. First random observation from a fan. Tell me if you agree or disagree.
Disagree.
One. Dante Hightower is still a developing player who draws a lot of flack because of the high draft pick used as well as the slow development curve of playing linebacker. Do you agree? I do.
It's Christmas. I'll say sure.
I think he's played better in this last month than he has previously.
So then he's developing.
See, I thought
by
he was
nature.
Awful
so then you agree.
Even Negativino is agreeing.
To a degree, yeah. And I've been one of his biggest critics.
Paul shrugs his shoulders.
I think he was. Really,
I don't think you're going to get much more from him. I'll say that.
I think he was really good against Baltimore.
If I didn't think that, then I wouldn't agree with this. I think we are going to get much more. That's why I agree.
So you're looking forward to the year three jump.
Yes.
Do you think that linebacker is a particularly tough position?
What do I think the ceiling is?
Since you think you're going to get much more,
it's not Pro Bowl. Like, oh my God, is this guy developed into this legend? But I think you're going to. On par with the type of production you get from Mayo.
And where do you expect the production to come? Like, where do you see the improvement coming? How are you going to gauge the improvement, the
just
potential?
Overall.
Pass rush, coverage, everything.
Yeah, I mean.
Run stuffs are now 4 yards instead of seven.
I think making plays, you know.
Certainly he needs to make more plays.
The curve numbers and the, you know, fumble recoveries. That type of
the
thing.
Curve numbers?
The curve numbers.
Instead of the crooked numbers and right. stuff they say in categories.
Curve numbers.
He put his own spin on it. He made it his own, as they say in American Idol.
I don't necessarily look at linebacker as a position that requires a lot of time to acclimate. I think a lot of linebackers step in and play
here.
Very well.
They generally have here.
You know, Mayo,
Mayo
was Defensive Rookie of the Year, right?
Right.
You know, the kid, Kiko Alonso, that we're going to see on Sunday.
Didn't Spikes play right
he's
away?
He's had a terrific season.
Yeah, everybody's played right away here.
I'm not saying that means that every single guy, but I don't look at that position
Luke
as being.
Luke Kuechly's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, they're saying.
There's a reputation for wide receivers. You know, generally it takes a little time
correct.
For a wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
you know, to step in. I don't look at linebacker being one of those positions that generally takes a little time.
I would agree. So it's a little more like running back.
Kind of
come and you play.
You either have it or you don't.
The second observation, do you agree or not agree? The only true elite talents left on the roster after injury are Tom Brady and Aqib Talib, and although less talented than other teams, the Patriots show that intangible element to a champion team.
I agree.
The second part of that I couldn't agree with more.
Sure.
The intangible element of how tough they are and all that's absolutely.
I also pretty much agree with the first. Now, I don't know, is Logan Mankins an elite talent?
Yeah.
But they have very limited. I mean, we just went over it with the Pro Bowl discussion.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot
of
elite talent.
Speaking of which, according to our friend Lucky, Matthew Slater is not on the ballot.
What?
Do they not have a special teamer?
He says Slater is not on the Pro Bowl ballot for fan voting.
What's his name in
I don't know
Indy
if that means
been...
I don't know if that means they don't have the special teamers.
No, because Sergio Brown's been campaigning.
The coach
on
gets
Twitter.
To choose a special teamer.
A long snapper.
I thought
gets to choose a long snapper.
No, yeah, a coach gets to choose one, and they generally choose a long snapper, I think.
Oh. Okay.
But the special teamer has always been voted in.
Yeah.
And I thought this year it was still there because Sergio Brown is literally, and the Colts have been campaigning
for him
on Twitter to be a Pro Bowl special teamer.
I believe he's still in the league.
LT,
he's made some
special teams. The third observation is, although criticized at the time, Matthew Slater as a fifth-round draft pick was a great pick. I never truly understood the criticism considering it was a fifth-round pick.
Well, because he didn't play.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody knew what position he played at the time. NFL.
The only problem was saying it's a great pick, which, in terms of production, he's been a great pick.
Yes.
Well, could he not have done the same thing as an undrafted rookie?
Exactly.
Would have been a great or not pick.
Right.
I have no problems with Matthew Slater. He's one of my. It's funny because we were just talking about Slater as we were walking down here to come to the show. He's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite players, and I think that he is absolutely outstanding at what he does. I did not want. I did not then, and do not now, want to use fifth round picks on that
now,
spot.
What if you knew someone else was going to draft him and you really wanted him? Now I'm all for it.
Listen, that's fine.
He's really good.
My guess is that the Patriots could develop a guy that's undrafted to do just what Matthew Slater does. I don't think you need to expend draft picks to do that.
Scripper says
that
Slater is on
the
ballot.
Locker room, Paul.
Okay, Slater is on the ballot.
And he has a link to the ballot. Yeah. So,
all right, Lucky.
I wonder if Lucky was looking at wide receiver or something, maybe, which he really isn't.
Right.
I don't know, but
yeah, I wouldn't vote for him for wide receiver.
No. John Gruden might.
Although he did take another snap at wide receiver the other day.
So that's huge.
Short yardage. He's the new Chad Jackson. He's our run-oriented wide receiver.
Todd in Weymouth writes in, Paul, last show you said you thought more of Joe Flacco than Fred and Andy. This has been 2 years in a row where the Ravens' offense has struggled. Remember last year the offensive coordinator was fired in season and they needed to convert a 4th-and-29 – for yes. San Diego to get in the playoffs. Now they are fighting for their playoff lives again in Week 17. If Flacco isn't the issue, what do you think is?
Well, first of all, I think they had a pretty good offense last year. This year, they've lost all the guys that they had last year. They've lost three starting offensive linemen. They've lost, at various points, two of their top three receivers and their top tight end. So that's why I think more of – I think Flacco last year, they scored over 30 points every playoff game.
And he had amazing.
Their offense was fine last year. Was it the Broncos or the Patriots? No, he's not that kind of play. He's not as consistent doing it week in and week out. But offensively, they were pretty good last year. Not great, they were pretty good. This year, they've been terrible. And I think that it's not just because of Flacco. Flacco has been terrible, but I don't think it's just because of Flacco. Whereas some other people think that last year was the aberration. That this is what he really is. That's why I said I think a little bit more of Flacco than most people do.
I think once he shaved that middle eyebrow that he has, his powers have gone down. I think that's what gave him his powers.
Yeah, I don't think that he's never going to be an elite quarterback. He's never going to be Manning, Brady, Rodgers. He's never going to be in that. But to me, he's a solid guy.
Earn a paycheck.
He's a solid guy in the next level. Who all, by the way, that next level, they all make $100 million like he does. I think he is solidly in the Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers class.
Oh, I don't actually.
I do.
All right, let's take a break. Foods here. More emails coming in. Of course, we have to do our final regular season picks around the NFL.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. We all know PFW in Progress attracts, well, an eclectic audience.
And I think it's different. Like, when I was at school, like, bullying for me, it was, you see these things called death runs. So my dormitories were like 40 people in a dormitory, and they basically used to line up with, like, clay pipes and hockey sticks and rugby boots. You'd have to run down the middle and stuff like that. There was one guy, I remember his name, Ollie Anlaw, who stood up and tried to sort of stand up to the bully. And they locked him in, like, a footlocker and threw him out the third floor window. So... I sort of stopped trying to stand up to people.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, but there was like a hedge below. But, you know, my school was like...
Oh, he was fine. There was a hedge below.
And embracing cultural diversity.
My school was like... I always say it was a lot like Harry Potter, but instead of magic, we had anal rape.
Think you can be the next great caller in the PFW in Progress family? Give it a shot by dialing 855-PATS-500. Just try to have something intelligent to bring to the table.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
Nothing says holidays like anal rape.
Talking about a lot of things, including that.
No, we're not. We're not actually talking anal rape.
Our last show before the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills at 425 here at Gillette Stadium with a chance to lock up the second seed. And who knows? Denver could lose. You never know, although they are playing the Raiders. So, you know, not much of a
You just sound like a New Englander.
They are playing the Raiders.
They are playing the Raiders, so I doubt
I wouldn't
that.
Count on that, but be happy to secure the number two
seed.
Are you worried at all about this game?
A little bit. I mean, this is one of those games, and there's a lot like them where you kind of know in the first quarter whether or not you're going to be okay.
But as I said the other day, if you're going to look to pull an upset off, having a very good pass rush and a very good playmaking secondary that has the most picks or second most picks in the league, that's a pretty good formula. I don't know if I spewed this the other day. Did you know Brady hasn't thrown multiple picks in a game yet this year? And it would be the first season of his career where he didn't have at least two games with multiple picks.
It's a good little stat.
I put it out on Twitter and people got mad. You jinxed him! I don't think I actually have any effect on what happens in the game.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Did you get your potty break in, Paul? I haven't seen you run like that since they said free pizza.
No. Paul, see, don't leave him alone. He's not finished.
He really is unbelievable. Yeah. But I totally agree with your assessment of the game. You know, in the first quarter, a game like this, a terrible team they're playing.
Will we?
Because
very few Patriots games have we known in the first.
Not necessarily whether or not they're going to win, but if it's going to be a tough game.
Do you think they will show up, the Buffalo Bills?
I think they will show up to play, and as soon as the Patriots get a two-score lead, the game will be over. So if they can do that in the first quarter, I agree with Fred.
Yeah.
You'll know right away.
Yeah.
Dumb question. I probably should know this since we cover the Patriots and they're playing the Bills. Is EJ Manuel playing?
Well, Marone said that.
Because it was 110% until it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. They thought before last game he was going to play.
Right, he said, quote, 100%, 110% that he was playing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he sort of talked to people like the GM and whatnot and said, you know, now tell me again why we're playing him in a meaningless game. You know, why would you want him to have to go into the offseason and need surgery?
Right.
You know, that's the important thing for them is to get him healthy and so he can enjoy an entire year in the offseason program.
You have a franchise quarterback, you shut him down and don't play him.
Well, that's the way to keep it safe.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that he was limited in practice on Tuesday. They weren't thrilled with the way he looked because I was actually reading our buddy Rodak on Twitter and some of the comments that he made while he looked like he said that Manuel himself sort of looked disappointed in how the knee was responding. So, yeah, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he'll play.
Luckily, they didn't need him last week when they beat the Dolphins, who the Patriots couldn't beat.
Right.
Yeah, but evidently he can only beat Miami, Dad Lewis.
Why is that?
Because
he's beaten him twice this year.
Hasn't beaten anybody else.
Imagine that. You're the Dolphins. You're not in the playoffs single-handedly because of Thad Lewis.
Unbelievable.
That's a Thad feeling.
one thing we didn't bring up, but we should. Bill Belichick had some comments about injuries in the new CBA.
I meant to bring that up,
and,
good job.
You know, obviously he doesn't know the answer, but he thought it was interesting that, you know, since these rule changes have come in about – you know, practices, limiting the amount of padded practices, number, all that stuff, that injuries have gone up, that there are more injuries the last 2 years than there have been. The league, of course, quickly came out and said, you know, there's no evidence that links the two. That's not what Bill said. But I think right out of hand, dismiss it is stupid by the league.
But
you should at least consider it might have been.
But I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know what the data is, but the league disputed there are more injuries. Not the correlation between the two.
No. Well, then I'm reading it wrong because I read the quote and it said there's no evidence to say that they're linked.
You might be right because the story that I read didn't actually have the quote from the NFL. I didn't read a quote from the NFL.
This was from Greg Aiello.
But, then I'm probably going to side with you because I don't think much of Greg Aiello. But
Yeah, if there's not more injuries, then
that,
okay.
Now, that's a good PR guy, by the way. Greg Aiello is a good PR guy. That guy will go down with any ship.
Now, if Paul, you're right. If the league is saying there aren't more injuries, then, okay, that destroys the whole argument. But,
but as an example, they had numbers in the story that I read, and I forget what I think it was the Herald, so I'm not sure, but I think it was the Herald that I read, and they documented the amount of players on injury reserve and whatnot, and they are not up. Matter of fact, the 288 or 287 players on injury reserve are the fewest this year since 2008, when they had either 287 or 288. Well, that's why I use those two numbers.
So again, you know, statistics can,
can
help. But what if you go, okay, give me the number of injuries that required a player to miss one or more games? And maybe that's astronomically.
But my guess is that it's not, because I don't see how injury reserve is the same, and those kinds of injuries are up.
Well, the one way those injuries were up, and I think muddies the water, is the head injuries.
Right.
Because I don't necessarily think there are more head injuries. There are more diagnosed and protocol-treated head injuries, because it's become an issue the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that, based on comparing to, say, 2008, did you say, was a,
yeah,
another... I think a lot has changed in head injuries since 2008.
But if that's the case, if that's where the injuries are on the rise, then I would agree with the NFL saying there's no correlation.
I would, too.
Because a concussion is a concussion, whether you had OTAs or not.
It just seemed to me that the league was very quick to dismiss it, instead of saying, you know, we've only done this for 2 years. It could be. Let's find out. Let's see.
Well, maybe
more.
They were defensive.
I think so.
Because the guy who was saying it generally says, ask the geniuses at the league.
Right.
So maybe the geniuses at the league were a little defensive with this guy in question.
I just want to know more, you know? What are the numbers? What are the actual numbers? You know, break them down.
And can you break them down in a way that makes it comparable to other years and everything?
Right.
And
that's the big thing to me. So it's not just, okay, there's 287 in 2008. Well, in 2008, was it a lot of, you know, was there a high percentage of, well, this guy, you know, tweaked a knee in preseason, and he's like a rookie or a first year player. We're going to keep him. We'll put him on IR.
Or like Marcus Zusevich tore his pec at the combine.
Exactly.
Like, you need to really pare down the numbers to get game injuries that were indeed
Sit down with the trainers that have been in the league for a number of years, because they know.
Right.
This was an injury because this guy wasn't prepared or whatever. They probably know the answer. For their own team.
But, like, can you even measure it? You know, for example, Gerard Mayo reaches out and his arm gets hit and he tears a pec. Is there any way to say, well, had he done that more, had more physical contact, said pec would have been more prepared? I mean, I just think it's such a almost impossibility to really gauge injuries. And I think it's trying to put too much of a scientific spin on something that isn't perfectly scientific.
Bobby writes in, just real quick, I read that those IR numbers don't count players who were injured and subsequently released.
Okay. Yeah, but they didn't count them then either.
Yeah.
It's apples to apples.
So I don't know. I mean, I just think that...
Or subs to subs.
We need more data. It's only been 2 years since all these rules have been implemented, right? So let's... It could...
This would be the third year. It's 11, 12, 13,
It could have an effect, but, you know, so let's see.
I want to know about the damn field turf. I got my questions about field turf and cleats.
Yeah? What is that? You think they stick too much?
ACLs, Achilles, I want some research done into that.
Yeah.
I have some concerns about that.
There's too much?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know. Yeah. I just feel like everybody wants to praise this field turf as perfect and great and all this. And
well, how come they keep coming up with new generations of it?
Well, that's one question. But also, well, that's just to get money out of people.
Probably,
but also just... I have some doubts about the modern footwear and field and what it leads to, or if it does lead to. I just want some research done in it.
Right, and even though I like field turf, just the fact that, you know, everybody comes out and says it's that's what people said about AstroTurf.
Right.
This is going to eliminate maintenance. Yeah, it's going to end guys' careers, too.
Right.
But we didn't realize that until, like, 10 years later.
Like, all those ACLs and the fact that, you know, two of them were contact – and like 35 of them or whatever the number is were non-contact. How does that compare to grass and to whatever forms of...
Because
that grass has its own issues because, you know, Wes Welker tore his ACL on grass technically.
Yep.
Right.
But again, that's something that I think needs to be noted. It was on grass, but it was on the tray system in Houston, which is not really grass and is problematic in its own right.
Yeah, I think, you know, this. When you're skiing, you have a pair of skis on. there's a certain amount of pressure where the ski's just going to come off, and that's right. for safety reasons.
Right.
You know, and I know, like, with the turf, you have the rubber underneath. And, for example, even with Gronk's injury, you saw, like, where his foot was skidding across after he got hit because, you know, you could clearly see the skid with the rubber coming up. But he planted, and it didn't give away enough, obviously, to cause that ACL. You know, so that's a good thing. But then you compare it to grass where hunks of grass can come up.
Right.
You know, and you could just absolutely lose your footing. So,
but there's different types of grass,
right.
too. You know, remember the whole phase of Carolina sucked. Carolina's grass caused injuries. And Dan Morgan and these. And you remember that was a terrible field. Or, you know, compared to the Richard Seymour beach sand that he said it was like rushing the passer on the beach out here. There's all different phases. You know, Paul, I've been taught. Have you seen that? It's Philadelphia, right, that I've been raving about, Paul? They clearly re-turfed their field.
Yes, Sunday night.
But it looks better than any re-turfed field, real turf, grass,
yep.
that I've seen in forever. The last couple weeks they've played, it looks perfect. And I just think that more needs to be looked into that area.
Yeah.
Because field turf is seen as such as be-all, end-all, and I just want to be careful that we don't go down a slippery slope and then in 5 years go, ho-ho,
and the players
didn't see that coming.
The players all say that they would prefer to play on grass, I mean,
right.
to a man. But I don't know if it's realistic because there are a lot of places where having a suitable grass field is, you know, like Pittsburgh is just ridiculous. You know, so some of these places that have too much use, and I don't know if there's a way that they can shorten the use and still get away. I don't know what they do. You know, I don't know what Pitt does.
I mean, you could get rid of high schools probably, but I'm guessing Pitt is
it's
contractually
almost like, it's almost like the best way. And, you know, it would be expensive and you need room, but to have like a reserve bubble where you grow a tray of grass and you interchange the two trays. So you have your playing grass and then you switch it out, put in the bubble. Bring
as
out,
one piece.
Yeah.
Houston.
No, as one piece
right.
and bring in the new tray and play on that. And so you switch them so they're not – one isn't getting that much, you know, use.
Well, I mean, they've tried I told you I saw a thing about – in Green Bay, they have this whole massive on wheels fake lighting system that comes on the field to not only keep the field warm, but it actually is supposed to be like sunlight. It's supposed
right.
to help it grow better. I mean, they've tried a billion different things over the years to whether it's keeping grass green or coming up with the perfect fake grass. And I'm not sure they've mastered any of them just yet, including field turf, which everybody seems to praise as the best.
Yeah, the one thing anecdotally that I would say, and I don't, again, like you said, Fred, we don't have the numbers, you know, I don't know about the research, but it does seem like there have been more injuries to big time players this year than in years past.
Now that would go into a different direction for me.
Oh.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, just good, like Vince Wilfork, you know, going down, Jerod Mayo going down. Von Miller going down, Aaron Rodgers and Jay Cutler in out there. It seems like there's been more injuries to key players this year than in, you know. I've never been one to count the number of players on IR on each team and say, well, that team's been healthy
yeah,
to this team.
Because
more than half of the guys on IR on every team are nobodies.
Right.
They're guys that get stashed there because they might have shown a glimmer of promise as a rookie or an undrafted free agent type or a first-year player. And they came up with something in training camp, and T.J. Moe is on injury reserve, as an example here.
Or Adrian Wilson.
But there seems like there's a lot of guys. There seems like there's a lot of big-name players this season that have gone down during the season. Maybe it's not more than in the past. It just seems that way to me.
Adrian Wilson, we thought, either was stashed as a golden parachute
right.
or had a hamstring injury. But then come to find out, at some point, I don't know where,
right.
he tore his Achilles and he's recovering from an Achilles tendon tear.
Right.
So I don't know what to make of that injury, but I also don't think he was going to be a part of the Patriots really anyway, so does he count and all that crap.
What do you think of the T-shirts that the NBA players wore yesterday?
I thought they were hideous.
Yeah, I liked them. I liked them.
You know what that is.
Money.
No.
Yeah. Those,
no, that's all.
You're a fat guy who's never looked good in a tank top, so you want your arms covered.
If you're a fat guy, you don't look good in those T-shirts.
Just
either.
So you know, you're a skinny guy who's never looked good in a tank top. I just want to let you know, as you know, you being a guy who wears a lot of tank tops, you're a skinny guy who doesn't look good in
the
tank top.
Plus, he has a sloping shoulder, so the thing keeps falling down.
It's not sloping shoulders. It's rising traps.
But they did. They came out on. I give the NBA credit for it. They came out and said it's a marketing thing. But I thought they made an interesting point. Because they wear tank tops, not as many people buy them because they're tank
right.
tops.
Right. I mean, if you're not Isaac Sopoaga,
right.
who wears a
NBA jersey
every day, ridiculous.
Right.
I think he just likes to breathe the big arms or something.
All right, let's
add him to my list of doormen. He is the perfect bouncer once he's done in the NFL. Just the look, the build, everything. If you open a club, Fred, Isaac Sopawaga.
Okay. Let's get to a few phone calls before we do the picks today. Eric's in Houston. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, Eric.
Now, I got a quick random hypothetical question I want to ask. But before I ask, I just wanted to tell you guys, I appreciate you guys doing the show today.
Thank you.
Wow,
Fred didn't even give us the option, but thank you.
We're here.
All right. Well, my question is, if you had a play like the Kimbrough Tompkins or the Danny Amendola play a couple weeks ago where it's the last play of the game, about the 17-19 yard line, one play left, who would you guys rather have Brady throwing the ball to? The 07 version of Randy Moss or the 2011 version of Gronk? Because in my opinion, I'd probably go
Randy
Gronk,
Moss.
But I've been wanting to ask you guys for a couple weeks now. I'll just hang up and hear you guys answer.
Okay, thanks.
Put on your mic.
I don't think your mic's on, Fred. Now you can say, okay, thanks.
I would take Randy Moss.
What was the situation? I missed the specific.
If you had a situation where you were like 20 yards out, one play, and you had to throw it into the end zone, who would you rather throw to? 07 version of Randy Moss or Gronk?
Gronk.
Now, I would have no problem throwing to Gronk, but I think Moss is more capable of making an acrobatic catch in a situation like that.
Because let's just say that the other team knows, okay, they're either going to go to Moss or they're going to go to Gronk. Who would they have a better chance of taking out of the play?
Yeah, to me, Gronk.
Really?
Yeah, because he's not as athletic and
can't jump as high.
Yeah, not as agile. Again, if I don't have Moss, I have no problem forcing it to Gronk.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a chance that he might just outfight everybody. But with Moss, there's a chance that he gets in a position where he's able to make the catch and you can't do anything about it. Like that Cincinnati one
that we always talk about. It's so funny, though, because it's right on the line. Like, if it's a little bit longer, I change it to Moss. And if it's a little shorter. I definitely change it to Gronk. We're right on the in-between where I'm kind of torn between the two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's shorter, I agree
with
you.
I'm going Gronk.
I go Gronk because now it doesn't have to be a Hail Mary.
Right.
You know, like, to me, the ones that they've had this year have all been from outside the 15-yard line, more or less. That's kind of a Hail Mary.
Right.
On the last play of the game. Just because it doesn't travel 40 yards and have a huge arcing spiral doesn't mean it's not a Hail Mary.
He's arguing with somebody.
To me, it's not. A Hail Mary to me is a bunch of guys underneath looking
See?
Up.
See?
Yeah.
See?
That's a Hail Mary.
To me, a Hail Mary is a pass that you're not really expecting to be complete.
No, that's not a Hail Mary.
You throw it up and you hope someone can make a play.
Did you see? I saw it on Twitter. I didn't see the actual broadcast. Moss said he could still catch 15 or 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's funny. The last time you were in the league, you didn't come anywhere near doing that.
I don't think he made 15 or 16 catches.
And when was the last time he had 08? I mean,
right.
You had a number of seasons when you were still in the league when you weren't doing that.
Right.
So what leads you to believe now that you're a TV guy that you can still do it, other than your massive ego?
It always looks easy from the couch. That's
from your couch.
Yep.
Or even the desk on the set of Fox, whatever, live.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Melly.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hi, Melvin.
Not much. I was still thinking about the game, now that the wind's kind of calmed down, and I'm kind of still glad that the one unit that I thought really wouldn't have those problems coming into the season because they've had continuity. They were coming back from last year was this offensive line. I'm glad they were able to really pound somebody, off the ball. And I think with Buffalo having this, we've been able to run the ball on them. And I think we need to continue to do that in order to have, some real live success in the playoffs because that's just a thing that we're going to be able to have to do. And with that being said, also that kind of scares me about the playoffs is the fact that, you talked about the turnovers and you talked about really quarterbacks that really don't turn the ball over. And I've said plenty of times, how scared I am when we don't get those turnovers. So, going into this postseason, it's going to be it's hard for me to believe that all these teams are going to have to turn the ball over for us to win, I feel like. I just think that's what unfortunately, that's what we are. That's what we do. We thrive off the turnovers. So, it's going to be hard for me to, realize that sometimes we're going to sit back there and play defense if they're not coming. And we know if we don't get that, it's going to be a nail biter. And, so 50-50 shot of winning. So that's my only chance. I'm very glad that they were able to really do what they've done this season without the injury that they've had. It's amazing, really. But, just going to this postseason, I just think they've got to toughen up, play defense, and run the ball because that's going to be the only chance of really winning.
Yep.
I think in the playoffs.
I think
that's my.
Yep. I agree, Melvin. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Melvin.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. See you later.
I agree with him. And I mean, that's what Brady's saying when he says the margin for error is so thin. I mean, they're playing tight games, and the way they win might change a little each week, but the turnovers are going to be key.
Yeah.
Continue to not have him turning the ball over and to be forcing some turnovers on DM. Yeah, as Bill would say, it's the most important, well, other than points, it's the most important thing.
And the thing about, you know, a lot of people are on the running game and whatnot, but that lends itself to making the game close. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to run the ball, it's going to shorten the game, it's going to lessen possessions, and, you know, I think in general the game is going to be tight. If you can play defense the way you did against Baltimore, I think you can win that type of game. But if Baltimore had an offensive day like the previous Patriots opponents had, say Cleveland or Houston, then it's hard to stay with that. It's hard to sit there and say, well, we're going to be content to punt here and continue to run the football because that's what we need to do. But if the other team's scoring, it's hard to do that. So it is kind of a catch-22 when you look at it that way.
In terms of ukulele songs, we talked earlier about ukuleles because I
did?
Got one for Christmas.
Canadian
Mike in Not So Smelly Florida says the most famous ukulele song is Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Israel Kamakamagululu. I know how much Andy likes the Hawaiians.
Yeah, that's a great song. That's a great version of that song.
Somebody's wedding dance. My sister-in-law's wedding dance, I think.
Yeah, because I don't think you went to Leslie's, did you? Yeah.
Very cliche.
I remember that at Leslie's wedding.
He's such a douche.
That was really nice.
He is such a bad person. He just told people your wedding song was cliche. Yeah. You're a loser.
Yeah.
Very cliche.
Who's that? Why is that on TV?
Isn't that Ronda?
Ronda Rousey?
Who's that? Who's Ronda Rousey?
UFC chick.
Does she fight?
Yeah.
Really?
You'd like to grapple with her. Put your old singlet on, grapple with her.
I just don't want anything to happen to that face.
See who's... What'd you say?
I don't want anything to happen to that face. You know? Steve in Killeen, Texas. I now have the visual of blind Freddie Kerr sitting around the house with his hat and shades on, wailing the Jets suck, we'll be fine blues on his harmonica. The more years we listen to, the more Pats Nation learns the multifacets of the PFW crew. Next, we are going to learn that Andy is doing MMA fight club type fights in his off time. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. And for the sake of Fred, I am going to do it now. 12-4 onto the playoffs. There you go.
I have a bunch of friends who do stuff like that, MMA.
Interesting. Just read some of the beat guys in Green Bay.
You have long arms. I don't know your T-Rex arms if you'd be able to do MMA.
I thought
you'd be at a real big disadvantage.
I thought it's better to not have long arms because they can't use them against you, and all those you keep it all close to you. That's more unlikely to get
those. But you get the stubby legs and arms. You know.
I have a good centralized base of power. I'll do it against you.
That's one thing I don't think I'd take him up on.
Why? You're a wrestler.
You're 20 years younger than
me. You should be able to kill me.
Yeah, I have to get in there.
In where?
No, you're thick. You're.
I'd like to see
you're
just
thick
because,
too, just so you know.
Like if Freddie took him down to the mat, as they say, and all the awkward positions that he,
that would be classic.
You know, Fred's head just in Andy's crotch, just like, you know, screaming bloody murder.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't
you? Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Not as much as you, Fred.
Andy,
but you should kill me in that.
In wrestling?
No. Well, in MMA, I mean, isn't the point you get me to the ground and then you put me in some little small package?
Yeah, but he is 20 years older than you.
I will continue to tell the story of Mr. Mandeville at Dartmouth High, who kicked ass and took names against guys that were 8 times his size and...
In wrestling?
30 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they would grapple. They would stand up.
MMA,
not
like
but wrestling. MMA is not just wrestling.
Yeah, but I mean...
You don't think one of
you should be able
what
to
do you
get
weigh?
In
your
what
buddy
you
Vic.
About 210.
Okay, so we're about the same weight-wise.
And I think so you have knowledge of, like, moves. You should be able to kick my ass.
But, like, Vic couldn't have just, like, popped your teacher there and knocked him down?
No.
If he wanted.
Far bigger, better athletes than Vic, I saw getting put in small packages day by day, would kick their asses. He'd be breathing heavy, and he'd be saying, one of these days it's going to kill me. But he would kick their ass. And that's how I think of you. Have a wrestling background. You should be able to do that to me.
A lot of my weight has turned from muscle to fat.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
That's the only problem.
I'm guessing that you're what's his name, Mr. Mandeville?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guessing he doesn't look
because there is a reason why in wrestling they have the weight classes, because if you can be a really, really great wrestler, but if you're you know, wrestling somebody a few classes ahead of you.
But we're in the
it's
same class.
It's hard to move them. You
we're
just
in the same class.
Them,
we're in the same class.
No, I know. But
it'd be great to see Fred put you just into a pretzel.
I think he should. As much as I wouldn't enjoy it, I think he should.
Oh, I think I would get you right down to the mat immediately.
I would think you should.
I have a couple good takedown moves from
and
the
And then once
the
I'm
get-go.
Down there, you should beat me.
From the get-go.
Now, would you start... How do you start?
No,
you
we're
start
not starting the old
up.
Gay way.
Standing up.
With
start
the arm around the waist and you're like doing him doggy style.
Oh, he would kill you in that. I think he would have a move either way. If he was on the top or the bottom, he would kill you.
The bottom's actually tougher.
But from the feet?
Yeah, from the
I
feet.
I don't think I think he's
I have a couple
I,
moves that I don't think you would fast. See what's coming. Trick moves.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to catch him.
Yeah, I think he would be
I think it'd be fun.
Float like a butterfly.
It'd be
like
fun, but I wouldn't be able to move my neck.
Because just
day.
So you know.
Oh, I can't believe I haven't told you guys this story yet.
I'd be trying to knock you out because I'd be worried if you got me on my back or I'm done.
You can't knock somebody out in wrestling. That's
no,
illegal.
We're talking MMA.
Oh, no. I'm talking
MMA,
wrestling.
You would
I'm
absolutely,
talking MMA.
If you were MMA, you would absolutely destroy him.
Yeah,
see, I don't think
so.
We would.
You're out of your mind.
You'd punch
you'd be
me
so much
be
faster.
Down.
You'd get like 10
no,
punches.
But I think if you got me with one of your takedowns, I'm done.
No, but it doesn't work that way in MMA.
Yes, it does.
Why are you shutting stuff
no, if
down?
You're willing to take a punch,
look. Let's just say,
as long as I don't knock you out, you're going
to
beat me.
If I did one of my moves, you would still be able to like punch me in the head or kick me in the groin or something.
Well, I don't think that's allowed.
Fred,
sure
could you?
Can.
Fred, could
I don't
you
think
put him
kicking
to sleep?
In the groin is allowed.
Well, you could kick me in the stomach. You know?
I think you would absolutely kill him.
I'd lose a foot.
And I think there's a chance that the word "kill" would not
He's
be an exaggeration.
Yeah.
What?
I think you would kill him.
I think he would put me. I don't know.
And
if you had a, if you had like a standard wrestling match,
straight up wrestling,
I think
I
he might
stand
be
a chance.
I think he might be able to do something.
I think
you're
a lot stronger than I am at this point.
But you should know. I mean, don't you know stuff?
But it only goes a
like
certain
using
way.
My leverage against me and all
that
crap.
Danny, think about how many times you could punch him.
he just left.
Well, Indy's thought about that a lot, I'm sure.
I actually think the other way around has been thought about a lot. But you could punch him so many times. All you'd have to do is connect once or twice.
Right.
And all his little wrestling knowledge would
be
gone.
I see him just attacking me, Goldberg style, trying to take me down. And once I'm down, I'm done.
By the way, Rogers took first-team reps today. Not on 11-11 because the beat writers got kicked out. But every drill they did, he took the first snap. And that generally indicates the
starter. He is a franchise quarterback. I'd rest him.
So it's be interesting.
All right.
I can't believe I didn't
start
touch. Wait a minute. I have to tell you this story real quick.
Is there any
it's not
place
a long
where you
one.
Can do this around here?
I have to start
Jim
training
Walpole
real quick.
Jim Walpole offered to have me train in Walpole with him. So he's put that out there a couple times.
But do we have a?
I don't want to train for MMA.
Do we have an octagon?
We'll just have
in your pants.
Doesn't Tip do a lot of that stuff?
No, he does real.
He
like
does black belt.
Black
stuff.
Belt, you know, like Asian like yeah. stuff.
I got Will a new TV. Beth and I bought Will a TV for his room, you know, like one of the flat screens. Yeah. So he had
no kidding,
yeah,
huh?
He is. So he had a big TV in his, you know, one of the old ones with the huge, you know, back right. and all that stuff. So it was heavy, but I'm, you know, not that heavy, but it was heavy. So I pick it up and I'm walking. I'm going to take
Please
it down to the
you
garage.
Mandelbaum.
Please tell me you split your pants.
No, so I'm taking it down to the garage, right? So I walk it out of his room. I go down the stairs and I get to the. You know, I have the split level, so I'm going down the bottom stairs down to the.
You're breathing heavy.
No, it wasn't that heavy. That's the point. It was heavy, but it wasn't like not manageable. It was a little awkward, and I was really conscious of making sure I didn't hit the wall or like hit the railing or something. So anyway, I get down to the lower level, and I missed the second to last stair, and I fell the last two stairs. While holding a TV, okay? So I end up flat on my back with the TV on top of me, right? Will is sitting on the couch playing video games. He goes, Mom, Dad fell.
Oh, all the concern.
That's exactly how he said it. Mom, Dad fell. And Beth is like, are you all right? Because it was like, boom.
Right.
And I swear to God, I thought I ruptured my Achilles again.
Because
that's the only thing I could feel, because that was the foot that missed the stair, my left foot. So I missed it, and I went down to the ground all the way to the floor. And that was the first thing that hit, and then I spun. And again, I was just conscious of making sure the TV didn't hit anything.
Right.
And I, like, turned. It was like stop, drop, and roll, and I rolled so it landed on me instead
lucky.
Of hitting anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky that I broke my sternum instead of, you know, put a hole in the wall.
Right.
Anyway.
Bumbles. Oops. Bounce.
All right. Might have to get those things that you sit on in your store. take you up the stairs.
It goes up around the... Well, your wife fell too, right?
My wife fell down the stairs about a month ago.
You guys are having trouble with the stairs.
But that, she just slipped. She didn't miss a stair. She had socks on and they're hardwood stairs, so she just slipped.
All right, let's get to the picks because there's no bye week. And we
Freddie!
That's you and me, Fred, right there.
Okay.
Imagine us doing that. Now, if we go to HR, is this allowed?
Not on the premises.
10-6 for Freddie, 9-7 for Andy and Eric, and 8-8 for me. Another miserable week of football.
It's just called a week.
With the spread, however, Fred and I tied at 9-7. Andy went 8-8. I gave Eric did not make picks last week. So
I
went by the paper for him for 9-7. That's what he went in the paper. So he always picks the same. I gave him 9-7 with the spread, but he didn't make picks with the spread.
Okay.
So anyway. I pulled off the rare feat of going better against the spread than I did just picking out and out winners. Anyway, for the season, 158-81-1 for Fred, 144-95-1 for Andy, 143-96-1 for me, 142-97-1 for Eric. So Eric, Andy, and Paul continue to have a hotly contested race for second place. With the spread,
also known as first losers.
This is amazing. 16 weeks into the season, Fred is still yet to lose his 100th game against the spread. 132-99-9. Andy is next at 117-114-9. This could be a big week for you if you can finish this off, be the first time you ever finished over 500.
I don't buy that crap.
Eric, 114-117-9. And Paul, 108-123-9. There will be no 500 finish for Paul.
All right.
I believe that's mathematically impossible. Oh, no. I suppose I could go 16-0.
You have to go 16-0.
Yeah. I can make it. Okay, all set.
All right.
Go ahead, go ahead.
So we start this week Sunday.
She's
at
much
one.
Prettier outside of the ring.
Yeah,
obviously she has makeup on.
Yeah, but she's not very attractive.
No,
like in the ring,
she looks good.
She looks cute there.
This is we're talking about Ronda Rousey, MMA.
Would you fight a girl?
No.
You want to make $5
not one
the
that
hard
does
way?
That.
No, I was thinking.
Who
a
do you
lesser
think I am,
one.
Paul?
That's a big pet peeve of mine.
What? Fighting girls?
No, the people that, you know, big tough guys that got to push around women.
Right.
You know, not to sound like Jerry Callahan. Like, oh,
no,
that's
right,
bad.
Right, right.
I'm not talking
you
about
be against
her.
That.
Yeah, you should be anti
I'm saying,
that.
Like, hypothetically, if you went to a gym and started training and there was a girl there who's done this, like, would you get in the ring with her?
No, I wouldn't feel right.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And you're also, as I always say, in a lose-lose situation.
Right.
You beat a girl. Big whoop.
Right.
The girl beat you. Nice job, dumbass.
Carolina at Atlanta, Sunday at 1.
Carolina by 6.5 with a chance to lock down the NFC South.
Who are they playing?
Atlanta.
I was looking at Ronda Rousey.
She's not that hot.
I'm like Fred. I'm very easily distracted by girls. Carolina will win and cover.
I am going to agree with Andy. I think the Panthers finish off an amazing season for them.
Did you say they
will then get knocked out in the first round of playoffs.
He has
Carolina, too.
Whatever you call it, legally taken Riverboat Ron. He's applied for
Is that right?
Yeah.
What is wrong with people?
Although I did hear him on
Kevin,
Sirius over
Green Bay, Chicago, Kevin.
Christmas Eve, and he seems like a real nice guy, Ron Rivera.
He probably is.
You know?
I think some of these ex-player coaches are nice guys. They're ex-player coaches.
Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Okay.
Big game. Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati by 6.
Time for Cincinnati. Put your big boy pants on and win a big boy game. At home, Marvin Lewis, Paul Perillo's favorite coach of all time, such a dominant force. If they want to be who they think they should be, and the Super Bowl favorite pick and all that crap, win the game. I think they will.
Yeah, I'll take Cincinnati. I don't think the game holds anywhere near as much importance as Andy does. I think it's sort of meaningless for them because the Patriots are not going to lose to Buffalo. But I think the Bengals win the game.
I do, too. I'm going to go with Cincinnati in this game. Jacksonville at Indianapolis.
Indianapolis by 11.5.
Indianapolis by 11.5 over Jacksonville. Yeah, I'll take Indy at home. I'm taking all the favorites. Don't just mark them in.
I think Indy may be in the process of finding it a little bit. After really struggling without Reggie Wayne, to their credit, they were able to win some of those games and gut them out. I think that's a testament to Andrew Luck, who even though statistically isn't having a great season, is finding a way to, again, win games. I kind of like the Colts. I think they have a very, very bright future, and they're a more formidable opponent in the playoffs this year than they were last year. the Colts. Probably not a threat to go all the way, but maybe a threat to win a game or two.
I'm going
to
take the Colts, but I am going to take those points. I think Jacksonville, they've been playing better the last half, and I think they want to go out, you know, with the effort, and make an impression on their coach and their owner. So I'm going to take those points. Sunday at 1, the Jets at Miami.
Miami by 6.5. The juggernaut Dolphins trying to finish 9-7.
Well, this is an interesting game of emotion, I think, for both teams. One team who thought they were doing something and then got their ass kicked last week. The other team whose coach is telling everybody that he's going to be fired and trying to, who knows how he'll try to coerce the energy out of his team. Normally, I would say it's a layup for Miami. I'm going to take Miami, but I'm worried about Rex just doing something where all the players, hey, we did this for Rex. You can fire him, but we still love him.
Right.
But I'll just take Miami.
Yeah, if the game was at the Meadowlands, I would go with your theory on that. I'm going to take Miami. I don't even think it'll be close. I think Miami is probably pretty pissed off at itself for what they did last week, and I think that the Jets stink, and the fact that they're going to finish 7-9 is amazing. I think the Dolphins stink. The fact that they're going to finish 9-7 is probably amazing, too, but they stink less than the Jets. I'll take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. I think Miami was embarrassed last week. They should have been, and I think they come out, you know, at least wanting to prove that they're better than that. So I got
to
go with Miami.
And they at least get a chance to have a win. They still need help, but, you know, they put themselves in a good spot if they win to get in.
Detroit at Minnesota.
Detroit.
This is a tough one.
Minnesota by 3.
It's a tough one to pick.
This is a game of two coaches that are probably going to be fired. Therefore, I'm just going to take the more talented team. That's Detroit.
I am going to go back to my tried and true method that's got me in last place and take Minnesota. Two crap teams, I'll take the home team. Plus, I think they're still playing, and Detroit is just a mess. They lost Pettigrew now. They're a mess.
Detroit's one of those teams like Dallas. When you think they're going to win, you pick them, and then they screw you, and then the opposite when you think
absolutely
they're
going
to win.
Absolutely.
So this time, I think Detroit's going to lose, but they would screw me, so I'm going to pick them to win.
See, I'm worried because I think Detroit's
going to
win.
I just gave away a game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take Detroit.
Well, that's what he said. He thinks Detroit – oh, no, you think they're going to lose. I'm sorry.
I think they're going to lose.
So he picked them to win.
That's why I'm going
to
pick them to win.
I think they're going to win, so they're going to lose.
Yeah, I like Fred's theory, though. Because that's Detroit. I bet you if we combined all of our records picking the Detroit games this year, I bet you it's not very good.
Right.
Probably.
Washington at the Giants, Sunday at 1.
Giants by 3.5.
I'll take the Giants.
I will, too. I don't think there's much more need. This is one of the three games this week, by the way, that doesn't mean anything. Those last two games, two of the games that don't mean anything.
I'm going to take the Giants, too. Sunday at 1, Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
I thought you were saying Cleveland at Cleveland.
I did too. Pittsburgh by 7.
It's another one. Emotion. Who knows where these teams are emotionally?
Well, Pittsburgh's still alive.
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah.
Don't they need a lot to happen?
Well, they need three teams to lose.
That feels like a lot. I'll take Pittsburgh, but I won't feel good about it.
Yeah, I will take Pittsburgh too. I just think they're better. Better than Cleveland.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well. Sunday at 1, Houston at Tennessee.
And this is the third game, I believe, that has no playoff implications. Tennessee by 7.
I have no feeling in this game, so I am just going to... Tennessee by 7?
7.
I'll take Tennessee to win, but I'll take those points.
I will do the same. I think that's too many points for a team the Tennessee Titans.
Which is why I stopped mid-sentence when you were saying it.
Fred?
Who's counting something?
I am going to go with this is tough. This is a tough one. Tennessee is another team that screwed me a couple times this year.
Imagine how good he'd be if he hadn't been screwed a few times.
That's right.
158, 81, and 1. 132, 99, and 9. He's lamenting the teams that screwed him.
Well, you know, you go always can do better. I'm going to go with Houston.
Wait, what's his record?
158, 81, and 1.
So 18 games different. Between the spread and no spread. That's pretty impressive.
21.
Yep, I'm going to go with Houston. All right.
I thought he had 99 compared to 81. That's not 18.
All the games.
21.
All the games in the late afternoon start at 4:25 this week. What's that?
Isn't 99 minus 81?
Oh, why am I thinking? Yeah, no, my bad. I'm thinking it was 101. I think it was 19 plus the 2.
All the 4 o'clock games are actually 4:25. There aren't any 4:05 games this year. This week.
This week.
Yeah. Plus
games no longer fit in a three-hour window.
4:25, San Francisco at Arizona.
Pick 'em.
I am going to go with a disappointing end to the season for the Arizona Cardinals. I think that defense gets after Carson Palmer, forces turnovers, and it spirals out of control.
Okay.
I will take Arizona to join the 2008 Patriots as the recent teams to go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. I think Arizona's going to win that game.
Me too. I'm with Paul. Green Bay at Chicago.
Told you the Aaron Rodgers news. It looks like he has a chance to play this week, and the Bears are favored by 2.5.
I'll take the Packers.
I will take the Packers as well on the wing and a prayer that Rodgers will play and play well.
But even if he doesn't, that Bears defense sucks.
I'm going to take the Bears.
Eddie Lacy might just run it down their throat.
Yes, he's hurt too, though.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if he might play. But
Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
He had a good year.
Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
New Orleans by 12.5.
Oof. New Orleans to win and cover. Why would Tampa Bay fight? They're trying to run their coach out of town. You can't try to steal one of these late.
Yeah, at some point, don't the Saints just have to play up to their capabilities?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they haven't really done it.
Unless
all,
they know. Have.
Right.
Yeah, they haven't really done it consistently, but I think they will do it. I'll lay the points.
I'm going to take New Orleans, but I'll also take those points.
Yeah, we lost that one, Andy.
Denver at...
Imagine how far we've fallen. If he does something other than us, we assume we lost. Remember the old days when we felt like the ones
second,
who knew something?
That's the second time I felt like I gave a game away. That Detroit game, I feel like I just gave it away.
John Rook's here for a shoot-around.
Denver at Oakland. Denver at Oakland.
Denver by 12.5.
I will take Denver... How many points do they need to break the record?
Like 20.
Oh, that's it.
I think it's 18, actually.
I'll take Denver to win and cover. I think they roll early, cruise late.
I am going to take Denver, but I will take the points.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I'm going to take Denver both ways.
Well, there's another one.
I just that's more disrespect to Oakland than respect to Denver. Oakland's just pathetic. They're just pathetic.
Clean it up. We have guests.
There's a lady in the room.
Oh, John, how you doing? Oh. let's see. Kansas.
What time's your shoot around?
Kansas.
Not soon enough.
He's got his Friars sweatsuit on, ready to go.
He looks like an AAU basketball coach. One of those.
I feel like.
Or Ron Borges.
Kansas City at San Diego. Kansas City at San Diego.
San Diego by 9.5.
Kansas City at San... Who?
San Diego by 9.5.
Are the Chiefs not playing for anything here?
No.
Oh.
They're locked into number 5.
Oh. I will take San Diego.
I will take San Diego as well, but I will take the points.
I was thinking of that, but I'm not going to.
What was the number?
9.5. Oh. 9.5.
I will take KC, and I will take those points.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
San Diego is favored by 9.5. You're taking Kansas City
what?
To win the game?
San Diego's favored?
He just doesn't listen. John, you see what happens when he just doesn't listen?
Wait a minute. San Diego's favored by 9.5.
KC is locked into the 5 spot. They have to play next week, and they will not be playing anybody, I would guess.
Oh.
And I would guess that's public knowledge based on the line.
Okay, then I'll take San Diego. I'll still take KC to win, though. I'll take the points. I'll take the points, but I'll take KC to win.
I'll take San Diego, but I'll take KC to win. So where are you taking San Diego?
I'll take those points.
I can't believe we're losing to this guy.
But,
he doesn't
but
even understand
even close.
How to make
He's
a pick.
Killing us. It's not even close.
St. Louis at Seattle. St. Louis at Seattle.
Seattle by 10.5.
I will take Seattle to win and cover.
Isn't
that aren't they locked in, Seattle?
No.
No.
No?
No. They lose, San Francisco wins, San Francisco wins the division.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was just a one-game difference. All I thought right. they were...
Okay. I am going to take Seattle to bounce back from that that home loss.
They lost, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They lost last
Just week. Talking in the background.
Yeah, he's just mumbling to himself like Costanza.
I'm going to say it again. Costanza. I can't believe we're losing to this guy.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks for the same reason Andy did.
The only fear I have is Quinning makes a late surge at Defensive Player of the Year with like 3 sacks.
Yeah.
You going to pick anybody?
He's just staring
blindly
at me.
Oh, he's just staring at me.
I'm going to, again, take the points, but Seattle wins.
Oh, God, I think he had a stroke.
No, I was thinking.
Do you have
that,
CTE?
I was thinking of Quinn. He broke the franchise record for sacks.
Yes, I believe 18 he has now. 18 and a half.
They're not making fun of Andy as much.
No, not for that pick, one.
Huh? Funny. Oh yeah, that one.
There's plenty of others.
Yeah, like right. Belichick in the second round.
Sunday night, 8:30, Philadelphia at Dallas. The kickoff would be about 8:37.
Philadelphia by 6.5.
Yeah, I unlike Fred, I don't believe Romo's going to play. I don't believe quarterback is going to be a position of strength for Dallas, and I am going to take the Eagles to get the. Oh, Paul, I forgot to tell you, your guy, Chip Kelly, was asked about everything that's going on in Dallas, and he said, quote, "We're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe this week." So, I'll just take the Eagles to get the job done.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
I am going to take the Eagles as well. I don't like that number, but I'm going to lay the points anyway. This is kind of crummy the way this. I love the Eagles in this game, period, with Romo. But now I wonder if it's one of those deals where, you know, pride shows up.
Kyle gets it done.
Because the Eagles' defense isn't very good.
No.
But this is more of an indictment against the Cowboys' defense.
Which is historically
is horrendous. The only time they ever had any success was at Philadelphia early in the year when Nick Foles got a concussion and didn't play. So I didn't play much of the game anyway. So I'll take the Eagles to win the division. And yet another 8-8 finish for your Dallas Cowboys.
I am going to take the Cowboys to win this game.
Is this? I saw Breer. This is the fourth straight year
that they'll finish 8-8. Something like
that. No, but they were 8-7 going into the finale, having to win in a chance to whatever. It's like the exact same scenario they've been in Groundhog Day.
Well, I know that last year they had to beat Washington and they lost. In 11, they had to beat the Giants and they lost. I don't know what happened in 12. Was that 11? Was that the year of the Giants? That's the year we went to the Super Bowl,
yes.
Right? So the last 2 years I can think of.
So it's at least the third straight year.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's lost it. I think something happened to him during
Pats
the
by
of
nine
show.
And a half.
He's
for the
laughing
last game.
In his back. In the
All
background.
Right, so the final
he really
game,
had a stroke. And just
Patriots
no one knows.
At 425. The Buffalo Bills at New England Patriots. What was the number?
9.5.
9.5.
Your Patriots by 9.5.
I do think they get their second consecutive relatively easy win on the scoreboard. I think the Bills will try to put up a fight, but I think Tom Brady and this team feels a little doubted. They want to finish strong, and I just don't think the Bills are going to have it in them. So I do think. I think the Patriots probably win this one 28-10.
31-17. Everything else that Andy said.
Yeah, I think that the Patriots clear this spread and take home the second seed. Denver's going to win. So, but just another amazing regular season throughout all the adversity. Going back to Aaron Hernandez, you can't underplay the effect that could have had on the team. And did.
I mean, you lost a playmaker.
Yeah.
That
had
an
effect. But you overcame it. You overcame it, and then all the injuries to key players, just amazing. 12-4, as we predicted, Paul.
Right.
Well, so
unless they lose.
But I mean, that's not to say this could be a tough game. Buffalo, you know.
It was tough the first. You open the season with a tough one against the Bills. You might end it with a tough one against the Bills.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be more along the lines of the pattern that is established with Buffalo, whereas one of the games is close and the other one isn't. This is going to be the one that's not.
Right.
Word.
So that's how things are going to end up this regular season. John Rook's in the house. Hey, John.
Friend.
And who are you with? Is this your secretary?
Uh-oh. That didn't go over big.
This is the esteemed Robin.
Ah, okay. And you make the...
And she brought goodies for everybody today.
Oh, nice.
So you're responsible for Fred putting on
like
10 pounds.
I'm playing Santa Claus today.
All right.
What do we got?
Ooh. There you go.
Robin makes... I call it cranberry cake.
Thank you very much.
It's not really bread. It's like too moist for bread, I think.
Secret ingredients, Freddie.
Now you have a microphone.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be on the mic.
Whatever that ingredient is.
She wants to let her bread speak for itself.
Yeah, really, nobody's listening anyway.
Whatever that ingredient is,
it's the day after Christmas.
It's really, really good. It's excellent.
It's lard.
Yeah, well.
You don't have to call me names. I'm sitting right here.
It's lard ass.
That would explain why I
lard ass.
No, it works
good
real
stuff.
Well.
And thank you, John. This is nice.
Now, do you actually pick these? I forgot to ask.
Actually, I leave that to Robin's
Ocean
mom.
Spray?
Oh. No, she the bog where we live in Berkeley, is owned by a man who sublet the, or actually sold the property to a builder who built our complex on it, our townhome. And he's basically said, anybody who lives out there, can, whenever we do the harvesting, can come out, just bring a couple of big barrels. I'll give you whatever you want, because he's got more than enough. He does sell this to Ocean Spray and other vendors, and you can see him on local grocery stores all throughout, you know, this, you know, southeastern Massachusetts area. We still have bags of them frozen, you know, and so use them year round, and they're absolutely delicious. Had homemade cranberry sauce yesterday for Christmas dinner, which was outstanding.
Fancy.
So, yeah.
But you don't actually have to, like, put boots on and go in the thing.
I wanted to. I wanted to. I wanted to be. I wanted to be just like those. I wanted to be right, just like those guys. You know, waiting out in there. But I was told, no, that's not necessary. Just, you know, bring us the bucket. We'll fill it up for you, and you can take and use whatever you want.
Oh.
So it's actually pretty cool. So a little side perk to, you know, buying the property that, you know, right there on the bog.
Yep. You're like the Forrest Gump of.
Forrest Gump of
cranberries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what was it? Oh, Bubba. Bubba.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Bubba Gump shrimp.
Right.
I got some bubblegum shrimp.
Yeah.
I got more money than God.
I got fried shrimp, boiled shrimp.
Barbecue shrimp.
Barbecue shrimp. All right. Well, shrimp thanks a gumbo. Lot, John. Final show before the Patriots close out this regular season.
I'm still a little in a shock over last week, as yeah. I'm sure you guys are. But, you know, hey, Baltimore's going to give you that many chances. Give the Patriots credit for taking advantage of those chances, right?
Certainly.
Which is exactly what they did. Good teams are supposed to do that. Baltimore kind of showed his true colors, even though they were a bit on a roll there before. So hard to argue with it. But, you know, to think that, you know, the Patriots are going to roll over Buffalo, I think is to not really get the gist of what this is all about
right.
this year.
Right.
This Patriots team is truly, more so than maybe any other in recent memory, week to week. It's a week-to-week team. It's a game-to-game, you know, team. You know, I fully expect Buffalo to give them a battle because Buffalo has nothing to lose.
But good or bad, wouldn't you say that of all the teams in the NFL, the Patriots have been one of the most consistent?
No question. They certainly, you could certainly put them right at the top of the resiliency list, too.
Well, yeah.
Which is
they don't get blown out.
Nope.
They don't blow people out.
Nope.
They're in every game.
But that's why anybody who says, oh, we're going to wipe the floor with Buffalo. No, you're not getting it.
Right.
You're not getting it. This team is going to play a close game. It'll be within probably two possessions right down to the end. And, you know, and then maybe they get a late score, you know, like, you know, the two gimmies that they got against Baltimore this last week when Baltimore laid down in the fourth quarter, which they did. Oh, we can't win this. And then we get two cheapies at the end. So I fully, you know, that could happen again because it's the last game of the year.
Get on that bus, get back to Buffalo.
Yeah, well, there you go. Kind of. So it could happen, but I fully expect Buffalo to certainly make this a game for 3 to 3.5 quarters.
So in case you were worried about missing Nitpick Tuesday with John Rook, it sounds like
now.
You have plenty here.
This is going to be Nitpick Tuesday slash Prediction Thursday.
Special Thursday
slash,
edition.
Yes, special holiday edition of Patriots Playbook.
With a special appearance by Buster Crabb.
Yes.
All right.
Buster Crabb, Russell Baxter will be here. And also our good friend Mike Rodak is going to visit with us as well.
Mike Rodak.
Since
he's
Mr. Buffalo Bills now.
Nice. Is he going to be in the studio?
No, he's going to have to visit us.
While he did cover the Bills for a while from here,
Foxborough?
He has actually now moved
ironically,
to Buffalo.
When the Bills are coming to Foxborough, he's not
game.
Here.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, that's cool.
Ask him if E.J. Manuel is going to play.
That's a jam-packed show for the playbook. That's up next. As for us, we have the pregame social, and then,
2
of
o'clock.
Course, we'll see you next Tuesday.
2 o'clock Sunday, pregame social.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.